and rights are eliminated. The Don and Mike Show.
Hey, we're still waiting on Nancy. Jim Nance.
All right.
From NFL on CBS called to get his money about the games over the weekend that we lost.
Yes, we lost a bet, and we have to give money to his favorite charity.
Also coming up, you know the blind guy that was on Jeopardy?
Yes, Thomas.
He's coming on the show, too.
Man, that guy is brilliant. That's fantastic.
We will have him on, I hope, on today's episode. And we are now, if you're wondering about the phone tag between us and Jethro Bodine.
What's going on with that?
He was going to call us on Thursday. When he called us on Thursday, we were giving away money.
He got mad because we weren't available for him.
And then we were supposed to call him on Friday, and Friday was jam-packed. So we called his office today, and today he said, the feud is officially back on again. But we will try to call Jethro Bodine, Max Bayer Jr.
Very good.
At some point on today's show. Plus, we'll have an episode today of As the Disc Jockey Turns with the return of disc jockey George McFly.
Spokane's own.
Oh, and we've also had lots of people calling wondering about our rating of the women.
Yes.
That we are getting that list out to the printer now.
Our ratings were completed last week, and it's going to be in your hot little hand shortly.
We rated, I think, actually over 130 women. I think the final list ended up somewhere around 113.
Right. 113 of the world's most beautiful ladies.
From the most beautiful to the absolute butt ugly.
Yeah, every list has to have its bottom feeders.
It's Linda Tripps. It's
Janet Reno.
It's Bonnie Franklin.
Sure.
It's Drew Barrymore.
Did we leave Bonnie Franklin on the list?
Yeah, but she's just like there in memory.
Yes, one day at a time.
We officially didn't rate her.
Mackenzie Phillips was not rated, though.
No, she would have made the bottom five also. We will tell you exactly how to get your copy of that list. I hope by the end of the week we'll have that news.
Good.
Let me get a couple of weekend things in here real quickly. Friday night, we went out to dinner because Friday night was our fifth anniversary, even though we've been married for 18 years.
Right.
5 years ago, my wife and I renewed our vows.
Right.
And this, of course, it gives her an opportunity to have two anniversaries every year.
Right. Of course. Very, very pleasurable.
So Friday night, we went out to dinner. Wonderful time. Just a boy, my wife, and me. We sit at the table, have a nice bottle of wine, nice conversation. All my wife wanted to talk about on Friday night at this what was supposed to be a nice romantic dinner, even though my son was there, all she wanted to talk about was,
"Hi, this is Frida. I'm not the breadwinner in my family."
Was she wanted to talk about that because she was excited about it, or she wanted to talk about it because you were making fun of it?
Yes and no to both.
Okay.
What she said is, she said, "I really think I should recut that commercial." And I said, "Why? It's fine the way it is. You know, my wife had a commercial." She said, "Now I've heard it on the radio."
Right.
"And now when I hear it, I think, you know what? You're right. I am using, like, my fake disc jockey voice.
A little lower than normal.
Just a pinch.
Hey, this is Frida. I'm not the breadwinner. Is Wally Cleaver there? He come down with something unexpected."
So that's...
it's working great, Beef.
That's all we did Friday night. We're sitting at dinner, and we're just going around the table with this. Listen, honey, the spot is fine. Well, if the spot is really fine, why did you poke fun at it? I said,
puts as much care into her commercial production work as you and I do, and I think that's good.
Please. Mike, I hope it never gets out.
I know.
How awful we are at cutting commercials.
I know. We were in there. We actually do it while we're still walking.
Yeah.
They just bring the microphones to us. Chase you down the hall.
So we're going round and round. She said, "I think I should go back to the radio station." At one point she said, "This is about 8:30 on Friday night." My wife says, "Will you drive me to the station now? I'd like to go in now to recut the commercial." I said, "Honey, that's the last place I want to be. I just got out of there on Friday night because I really think I need to recut the commercial." So that was our big second anniversary.
Did she end up recutting it?
No, she did not. But that was a whole focus of our unofficial anniversary dinner on Friday night.
Because if the client likes it and the sales guy likes it, you know.
No, they all like it fine.
You know, no complaints.
You're done.
All right. This is Frida.
That's why she wants to redo it.
"I'm not the breadwinner, but I do know a few things about cars."
And at one point it was funny because I was doing it and Bart was doing it.
Right.
She was not amused. So Saturday. Oh, now here's something that any parents with teenagers can relate to. Saturday, my kid had a football game, a freshman football game, that they were playing in Butt Scratch, Maryland, an hour and a half away. And we were, of course, going to go to the game and watch him play because we're concerned parents. And it was my only chance this year to see him play since they play most of the games in the afternoon.
Right.
Well, he says about 10 o'clock on Saturday morning, Dad, I want to go see the varsity team play. They play a big game today. Mm-hmm. I said, okay, what time is it? He said, 1 o'clock. And this was at his school, which is obviously much closer to our house.
So this is the main event. This is the high school football game.
Right. And I said, okay, do you want to be dropped off? Are you going to have friends there or what? And he says, Dad, would you go with me? And I said, I would like nothing better.
Right.
You know, great time. Okay.
Yeah, it's great. High school football is the best.
So we get all of our stuff done, all of our chores done. We say goodbye to Mommy. We get in the car. We drive to the school. We wait in line. We park the car. We hike up to the field.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as we get there, he says, Dad, let's sit right here. And I say, okay. And I realize that there's a large group of people sitting in the bleachers. And he's put us way off in this corner by ourselves.
Okay.
And then we sit down, and the game starts, and he says, Dad, I'll be right back. And he leaves.
Mm.
And he's gone. And he's gone 15 minutes. And I look out of the corner of my eye, and I see that he's ditched me, and he's over there with a bunch of his friends.
So that was the real reason?
No, it was a last-minute audible on his part. Now, I'm sitting by myself watching a game in which my kid's not playing in.
Really have no interest.
And I'm just sitting there with my arms folded, and I'm looking out of the corner of my eye because I don't want to embarrass my kid.
Right.
But I'm thinking, I should really just walk over there and say to him,
but you were doing this with me, you dear old dad.
I'm going home. So finally, 20 minutes later, he sees me, like giving him the hairy eyeball, and I give him the old nolly. Hey, come on, back over here, come here.
Right.
So I see him leave his friends, and he goes underneath the bleachers and comes over and hides, and he goes, hi, Dad. Hey, do you mind? I'm going to sit with my friends. And I said, no, that's okay. I don't mind. You should have told me that from the beginning, though, that I would have just...
Did he know his friends were going to be there?
No.
Mm-hmm.
See, this is the thing. He got there, sat down with me as far away from everybody as he possibly could.
Right.
Then as soon as he saw his friends...
He gravitated to them.
He just ditched me. No, he said, Dad, I'm going to go to the bathroom or get a hot dog, whatever he said.
Right.
20 minutes later, I see him over there just chatting it up with his friends. So I said, well, okay, listen, I guess... If you could sit with me for a few minutes, you know, till the end of the first quarter, then you could go back with your friends. And then very begrudgingly goes, all right. And he sits down with me, and I can tell he's so uncomfortable.
I don't know how I am going to handle that.
I said,
when my
listen,
kids get to be that age.
I said, listen, you know what?
That is amazing.
Just go. Just go be with your friends.
You have to do that, because if you don't do that, you risk further, you know, heart stomping.
Right. I said, listen, just go. Go ahead.
Oh, I know you don't want to have anything to do with your father.
I'll see you tonight at your game. Goodbye. And he walks away, and he gets halfway there, and he turns around, and I think, you know what?
Gonna get a little wave or something?
That's my boy.
Yeah.
He turns around and he says, when you leave, go out that way. Meaning, don't walk by him and his friends when I leave.
Oh.
Walk out the back way so that, like, nobody sees me. I get the big OK side.
Okay,
I gotcha.
Very good. Thanks, son. Your father, the elephant man, will be leaving now.
I gotcha. So I get in the car and I call my wife up and I go, well, that was a pretty great father-son day. He just ditched me for his friends and made me leave the back way. And my wife says, you think that's bad? That I guess the weekend before, on Friday night, he had been to a dance.
Right.
A school dance. And when my wife arrived to pick him up, she actually made the cardinal sin of getting out of the car and walking into the auditorium. And that from 50 yards away, he screamed at her, get out! Here!
Oh,
and then came over and, like, started ragging on her for actually walking in.
Oh, boy.
You know, got that,
oh, dear.
That whole thing going.
Separation thing. You know, it begins as separation anxiety, and then it's separation anxiety. They always talk about separation anxiety. My two-year-old's going through that right now. When you leave the room or you leave to go somewhere or a babysitter comes over, they pitch a fit.
Right.
It's called separation anxiety. Then they get to Bart's age, and it's separation anxiety of a different kind. If you're not separated, there's anxiety.
Right. So we go, okay, you know, see you later. I leave. I go back home. And meanwhile, he's at school all day because he watches the varsity team play with his friends.
Right.
And then he was supposed to be there at 3 o'clock anyway to get on the bus to go to this other school where he's going to play in his freshman game.
Right.
At about 6:30 on Saturday night. So we head all the way back to, all the way to Charles County. Mm. I mean, it's way butt scratch Maryland.
Pretty women, though.
We get there.
Oh, yeah.
Nothing but Mike.
You bet.
And handsome guys.
Absolutely. Handsome men, good looking. Handsome people, good stock out there.
And can I tell you something? Really smart people.
Absolutely. The smartest.
Really smart, because we got lost and we had to stop a couple of times for directions.
Right.
Never met friendlier.
Right.
Smarter people.
And the convenience of auto body painting within every square block.
So we get to this school where Bart's going to be playing this game at. And, of course, the other side, because it was their school,
right.
Even though it's a freshman game, it's pretty full of fans. On the side where we're supposed to go to, there's maybe like 13 people who have come out to watch these kids play, right?
Right.
So
it's the way it always was when, you know, traveling.
Right. So what my wife does is she likes sitting with the women and blah, blah, blah. They're talking and stuff. Mm-hmm. But I was actually very close to being on the sidelines.
Right.
I was standing just behind the side. They got the field and they got the running track that goes around the field.
Close to realizing another one of your fantasies, of course, to be a head professional football coach.
And I'm standing there with a couple of other dads, and we're watching the game. And it was a great game, and Bard by no means is a star athlete,
mm-hmm.
but he did get to start the game, and he actually made a tackle.
Right.
So I was very proud.
Uh-huh.
But again, I get the brush off when, at one point, I'm standing maybe 20 feet behind him, okay? And he's just made a tackle. And all the kids have gone, hey, Bart, Bart, and they're slapping him on the helmet, and somebody comes off the field.
Right.
Like I said, my kid's not a star on this team, so he made a good play, and they're all making a big deal out of it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm standing looking at him, and I go, hey, Barty. And I know he can hear me, but he's not turning around. I go, hey, Barty. Again, he won't turn. I'm just trying. I go, hey, Bart. And he turns around, and he goes like this. He just goes, put that. You ever get that move, like, talk to the hands?
Oh, yeah.
You get that thing where he just goes.
He's really going through it. He's right at the point of it right now.
Right.
Yeah. That'll mellow probably
right.
a little
then
bit.
I give him this thing. I go, I give him the old, you, here, now.
Sure.
I give him that.
Rightly so.
Yeah. I go, listen, I'm just trying to give you some encouragement. Okay? He goes, Dad, you are embarrassing me. And I said, I'm standing here with all the other dads. They're all yelling stuff. Dad, you're embarrassing me. I went, okay, cool. You know,
it's got to rip your heart into
that,
you, man. That
fine.
Is got to be so hard.
God, I mean,
it's normal, though.
I was not standing right on top of the action.
Yeah, I know.
And, you know, pardon me for getting excited when my kid made a play in the game.
Right.
Right?
You know what? I think I remember it. Do you remember it? I mean, what it is really is you want your folks there. You want your parents there. But at that age, he's, what, 13 now?
14.
He's 14
15
now?
15 next March.
He's right at that point now where he still wants you there. But he doesn't want to have
right.
any contact. I mean, no contact.
And it
you.
Was really incredible that as soon as this little scene got done, all these other dads came up, and it was like all of a sudden, like the first wives' club, when they all come up and they go,
yeah,
hey,
mine knows that too.
Guess what? Welcome to the club.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
My son wouldn't even talk to us the whole way up in the car.
I don't know how I don't know how you handle that. Obviously, you're handling it.
No, it's fine.
This would drive me nuts.
Listen, I just remember how much I hated my parents when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
Well, first of all, my parents never came to anything I did, so I never
right.
had that problem.
Right.
But I hated him. I'm pretty sure he likes us okay.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, you know, he's got this thing around his friends and stuff.
Right, right, right.
That's cool. But then the wackiest thing happens.
Mm-hmm.
It's the very end of the game, and Bart's team is winning 30-0.
Right.
Okay? So the whole team's getting in. They're all playing. Everything's great. Well, the coach of Bart's team could not be a nicer man.
Right.
He's an old dude with gray hair.
Right.
Type of coach, just wears a floppy hat.
Yeah.
Doesn't yell a lot.
Right.
You know, he gets mad when they did stuff wrong, but generally doesn't yell at him. Well, the other coach for the other team, he's one of these guys, he's wearing the running suit on the sideline.
Oh, there's
that. And he's one of these guys. You hear him, and we were all the way on the other side of the field. You
right.
hear him going, you stupid idiot! How many times are you going to be offside in this game? Are you like, he's like one of these screaming guys.
Oh, I hate that.
Okay? So they're losing. They're getting killed. 30-0. End of the game. They're out there. The other team has the ball. Quarterback goes down, set. And all of a sudden, everybody on the field, all the guys on Bart's team, all the guys on the other team, they look over towards the other sideline where there's a fight. What has happened is this coach has taken one of his players out of the game. The kid comes over, punches the coach.
Ooh. Punched the coach?
Punched the coach.
Wow.
And then you got a melee.
Oh, my God.
You got him. At this point...
Took a poke at the coach.
Punched him in the stomach. At this point, the referees are out there, and they're trying to get the kids to play football. None of the kids wanted to play. They're all just standing there watching this fight.
Oh, my God.
And at first, we didn't know what was going on. You just saw a big group, and it was like any fight where you hear like, all right.
Oh, wow.
And then one of the linesmen goes over and he says, you see that? I said, no, I didn't see what happened. He said, number 82, or whatever the kid's number is, just took a swing at the coach.
Oh, my God.
And then he said, Jesus, what a mess. And then he said, it's not the first time it's happened this year.
Oh, my God.
Wow. Hey, maybe it's time to rethink the coach, you know?
Oh, my God.
That's pretty intense. You hear about that, it's weird to be in something like that.
So how wacky was that?
Oh, man.
Right, and then we discussed that. Bart graciously agreed to drive home with us rather than take the bus.
Yeah, well, that's good. He realized probably a little tired and needed the transportation.
With his friends. So he stopped at a Subway on the way home to get him a sandwich.
Mm-hmm.
And then this is a cap to a perfect evening. That's certainly not his fault. He didn't do anything wrong behavior-wise.
Right.
We're standing in the middle of Subway. He has on his football pants, and he's got on a T-shirt. And he had no shoes on or anything. We're standing in line waiting to make our sandwich order to the retard that's working behind the counter who really, I don't know, I mean, this guy... had to be challenged, seriously. This guy, we were waiting for some guy to order a meatball sub, and it's taking this guy 20 minutes to get this thing together.
Pierced eyebrow?
No.
Just always like to check.
Just a dumb guy.
Very good.
So we're just standing there waiting, and all of a sudden, Bart goes, hey, Dad. And I turn around, I said, it was like I've had all day of hey, Dad, hey, Dad.
Right.
I turn around, I go, what? And I see a pool of blood on the floor. He goes, I got a bloody nose in the game.
Oh, no.
And then everybody...
There's a bloody nose in the Subway store?
Yes.
Oh, gross.
He has the blood coming out of his nose and going down his pants, and it's now forming a big puddle on the floor.
Oh,
and
man.
And he says, what do I do? And I said, put your head back. And he goes, no. We learned in school not to do that because that makes the blood go to your stomach. And I said, well, you can't just stand there with a bloody nose.
Pinch your nose, maybe,
I say to the guy in front of me, excuse me. And the guy thinks I'm cutting in line. I said, no. You can have your sandwich. I just need some napkins. My kid has a bloody nose. And this guy turns around. And I thought he's going to puke. This guy turns around.
You got a real river going.
And there's like 15 people in this subway. And suddenly... scattered, man. I mean, everybody walked away. You know, and as Bart would get done with each bloody napkin, he would give them to me. Dad, I need another napkin. He'd go, here you go. And he'd give me the other one. And then I would have to hold it like this very daintily with my pinky out. And I would walk over to the trash can and put it in the trash can.
You want tomatoes on that sandwich?
Yeah. Meanwhile.
Extra ketchup?
All of a sudden, we're getting great service.
Yeah, right.
Because there's nobody else in this place.
Oh, absolutely. Put a pool of blood on the floor in any food or, you know, fast food operation. That'll clear the room pretty quick.
Oh, my God. God, what a night.
God.
I got in the car and I just said, you know, perfect ending.
Parenthood.
To a perfect day.
Parenthood, it's the greatest thing in the world.
That's what it's about.
It is.
Bloody nose.
Oh, God.
Christ. All over the place.
Yeah, well, you know, at least you didn't get the bloody nose while you were sitting in the bleachers, you know, when he's waiting for his friend.
Yeah.
You know, you combine a couple of those circumstances, could have been a real disaster.
Yeah. You know, I felt for him because he was embarrassed, too. He's standing there in the middle of the store, just blood just pouring out of his nose. Mm-hmm. Everybody looking at me like I have some kind of diseased child or something. I actually said to one of them, well, look at him.
Right.
Meaning, and I meant like looking at football pads on himself. He was just in the game, and the guy just looked at him like, damn, that kid's nose is bleeding like holy sin.
Honey, it's time to go to Kentucky Fried Chicken.
So that was that was the weekend.
Fatherhood.
Thank God the games were on yesterday. I was able just to seclude myself yesterday.
Needed a day of rest.
Just seclude myself in the cave and watch the games yesterday. After I got done with doing the Redskins show,
right.
I just came home and watched all the games yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
I thought I was going to be the big, big winner in fantasy football.
Didn't work.
Really thought I was going to win the money this week because I had Jeff George, who had a great week, but I found out at the last minute that old Charlie Broyhill won the money.
And I think I found out officially that I probably now have the worst fantasy football team in the league. I think it's safe to say that I was, I think I was the low man on the totem pole, right?
11 points.
11 points.
Mm.
No points from my quarterback. No points from my running back.
You had minus points
minus
from your quarterback.
From my quarterback. Oh. Jeff Garcia.
Jeff Garcia.
Well, I really, you know, this is the first time I picked him up because I needed a backup. Turns out he is my backup now because Mark Brunell was out and he had a bye week. A
bisexual week.
Which I didn't even know. That's why I started Jimmy Smith. I got to focus. But, you know, I lied about that last week. I said, now that the Red Sox are out of the playoffs, I'm actually going to pay attention. I lied. I didn't pay any attention. Still playing golf. I'm not paying attention at all. It's ridiculous.
Maybe I'm two and five. Set the world on fire.
But I was Dr. Frankenstein last night. I did a great job. I did a fantastic performance.
Was this at a haunted house?
It was the place where I play golf. They had their haunted house, and for people that I golf with and their families to come up, and we have this old manor house. It's this abandoned place that we turn into a haunted house. And I was supposed to play Dr. Frankenstein. I was the second room. Laura was my assistant. She was dressed like Terry Garr in Young Frankenstein.
Oh, really?
And her line was, look.
What she said.
You do with lines.
Look, doctor, the monster is moving. And then I walk over and I say, it's alive. It's alive. It's alive. And
how many times did you two do this?
20. We did about 20, 25 times.
God.
And we do it every time. I come in and they say, Dr. Frankenstein, and then I burst through the door. Well, the first family I burst through the door, as soon as I do this, there's a young one. You know, we figured by the end of the night that maybe 7 years old, 8 years old should be the cutoff age.
Now, were you made up at all for this?
What's that? Yeah, I was totally made up. I had my hair spiked up straight. I had all white face on. I darkened my beard, made it black, and I put dark circles under my eyes. And then I wore an apron that was covered with blood.
Ooh.
And then I had a turtleneck on, and I had white gloves on, too. So I was Dr. Frankenstein, and my little spiel was, what am I doing? Why, this is the greatest experiment in the world. I'm taking parts from one body and I'm sewing them to the next, and I'm creating the monster, the greatest creature in the history of the world. It will cement my reputation as the greatest scientist in the world. And then Laura says, Doctor, I believe the monster is moving. And then I say, it's alive, it's alive. And then the monster, my friend Peter, would chase people out of the room. And by the end of the night, I'm supposed to struggle with him, and he's getting really tired because he's got to get up and down, and he's wearing these super heavy boots with the Frankenstein, and we're wrestling, and at the end of the night...
So you're the doctor. You're not like Herman Munster.
No, Herman Munster is lying on
the
table.
That's your friend who's getting tired.
And I have to dance. I have to dance. I have to wrestle with him, and by the end of the night, it was almost like a little tango. And then they chase other people out into the other room, and then they go through this whole haunted house, and it ends with this, like, ghoulish wedding at the end of the night, and then they go through a graveyard, and then they take them by golf cart around the clubhouse, and they think it's over, and there are two guys there with chainsaws without blades. like that. But, I mean, my voice is shot because we did so many of these things.
So many performances last night.
The worst thing about it, the worst thing about it, because I'm not a baby, because we got a babysitter, because we have a four-year-old, a two-year-old, and I had the makeup on, and Elizabeth was still up when I left, and I said, hello, Elizabeth, trying to, and it's like, oh, and I said, I'm just a clown. Well, I didn't look anything like a clown. I looked like a horror creature, and I said, Daddy's a clown, and then it's like, I can't a clown. That means I'm scared of the clown.
Oh.
So I said, Daddy's all right. And then I decided I just have to be in another room. And you know, all I'm hearing is like, Daddy's scary! Daddy's scary! And so we left. But anybody bringing kids in, under five, because I make a real big injury. I kick the door open. I'm like, good evening! Like that. And the second group that came through, I went, good evening! And I hear this, and they have to take the kid out.
Right.
But I mean, it's a haunted house. I think one lady got mad because it was an older lady with a grandkid, and it came by, yeah. And she said, my grandson was really really scared, you know, and then she, you know, walked on her way, and we're all standing there.
Well, F you.
It's a haunted effing house. Come on.
Dr. Frankenstein just said F you to me.
Well, F you.
Well, F you.
Don't come back, all right? If you're so scared, if Carson's scared, does the word haunted mean anything to you? Haunted House Halloween. I'm sorry, it's not a comedy show.
We have to break, and we'll be back with more after this.
There's a show that's huge here in town called the Don and Mike Show. I know they're huge fans of yours. They're coming to town. Could you send us an autographed copy of your book that we can pass on to them?
Wait a minute. You're telling me Don and Mike will read a book about prayer? Okay.
Yeah.
Give them this message.
Okay.
Okay? Tell them both to pray for civility and class.
Ooh.
Hey, it's giving God a job, boy.
Thanks, Larry.
Good morning.
If you please, their show is filled with blood and cheese. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Hey, Robbie, what's the number back in the producer's room?
467.
467. 1-800-MILE.
Hello.
Hello. Hey, have you talked to Nancy?
No, I have not. I've called four times.
He knew that we were supposed to talk to them between 4 and 4:30, right?
Yes, he did.
Okay, well then technically...
Well, I guess he knew. I never heard back.
I was going to say, technically, if he doesn't call...
No.
Then I guess we don't have to
get him on the bet.
We can't do that, though. Because you can claim a bet, like, you know, bet's a bet.
Hey, but he was supposed to call us today, though.
Right.
Who did you talk to when you called CBS earlier? Did you talk to him or his assistant?
Nobody. It's all been voicemail.
Only way we'd be able to get away with that was if we gave our money to our own charity.
Yeah.
Since we didn't hear from him. We could not
I could tell him it was a tie.
What do you mean? I'm sure he knows who picked what.
No, maybe not.
And there were five games. I don't see how it could be a tie.
What was the record? What was our record? How many did we get right? Has anybody checked that?
No, he's got it.
I've got it.
And what was our record, Charlie?
He got one right, he got two right.
It was awful. It's totally my fault. I convinced you to pick Denver. I mean, I was so positive Buffalo would beat Seattle.
That's the one I was going to argue with you about because of Holmgren. I thought that Seattle might do it. But, my confidence as far as anything NFL is completely shattered this year.
Well, if you get a hold of him, you know, we can't back out of that bet. We got to pay him either way.
Yeah, we have to pay his.
But I'd like to talk to him.
Well, I'd
like to know if he's ever going to mention our names on his stupid little show.
He was supposed to do it this weekend.
Right.
And, you know, not like anybody's called. Bye. Nice chatting with you.
Goodbye.
We're very busy.
The very personable Charles Broyhill.
Johnny's social skills.
Yeah, if he had mentioned our names on the TV.
Right.
Someone would have called us by now.
Sure thing. Absolutely.
Speaking of which, really, if anybody out there has a tape of that Jim Gray Pete Rose interview.
I'd love to see that.
And why you would tape something that retarded, I don't know. But maybe you were running tape on the whole greatest baseball players of the century crap.
People tape everything.
If you got it. Call us up. I'd love for Mike to hear it. I'd love to borrow the tape to actually make a copy so you could see Jim Gray's face.
And Jim Gray is one of the guys that Rudy always gets on the show for us. Right. Maybe we'll be able to chat with him. We'll have to get him this Friday, you know, to talk with him about
trying to get him before that. Trying to get him today.
That'd be great.
But he won't talk to anybody today. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hi, Don. Hi, Mike. Hi, Buzz.
Hi.
I'm all for following through on a bet, but at the same time, that guy said that he was going to mention you guys on the radio, and if he's not a man of his word, you guys shouldn't pay the bet.
He's supposed to mention us on the television.
Right, correct, on TV.
But you know what? He lied to us about that last year anyway. I mean, if it was just a bet to him, yeah, I'd say F him, but being as he brought up the whole damn charity thing.
Right, welching on a bet for charity. I mean, that just makes you, you know, the poster child for idiot.
Yeah, no way. No, we'll pay the bet. I would just like to talk to him, that's all.
Yeah, but just, you know, kind of put a little guilt trip on him, say, hey, it's for charity.
We can do that, but I don't think we have to tie the charity into that. We tie our own, you know, hey, you said you were going to do it once again, you didn't do it.
Right, and on top of it, we lost our bet to you, so we're having to pay $500 to your favorite charity.
Right.
You know, I think we tried pretty hard to give him, he got our grade A guilt trip on Friday.
Oh, he did.
When he was on.
He did, but then again, you said he was, you know, taking that Sudafed.
Yeah, that doesn't work, I don't know who will, but I've got one tip for you guys right before we go here. It's cheaper to keep her, just remember. That.
Thank you, genius.
Anytime.
I got one more tip for you. Right before we go here.
Yeah, because it's his show.
Right. Because he was deciding how long he'd be on the show.
He was in control. Now, there's a guy that's probably pleasant to live with. Well, that wasn't very kind, now was it?
But I'm positive that you are not brave enough to leave your number on caller ID.
Mm-hmm. Of course not.
Are you there?
I believe he is hung up.
Hit
and run.
He's gone. Another guy.
Nice. Just wants to call, say something foul.
Yes.
But not brave enough.
Oh, no.
Not brazen enough.
The radio.
To leave the number.
Say hello.
So that we can call him back.
And we'll be damned if we're going to let some greasy bastard call like that.
We'll be damned. We'll be damned.
Damn, so
fine.
I give this watch to you.
Hey, you know what movie?
Little man.
You know what movie you should rent?
What?
I think you'd like? Is the movie Go.
Yeah.
Go?
It's on the dish right now on DirecTV with Jay Moore. You know, I'm a huge fan of
Jay Moore. Yeah, I'm sorry that show Action isn't doing better.
I think you'll really like the movie Go. I checked it out this weekend.
I was actually going by it and reading the, is Christopher Walken in it?
No, he has nothing to do with it. It's just Christopher Walken made me think of Pulp Fiction.
Right.
Which made me think that Go.
Similar to Pulp Fiction?
Kind of, only in the fact that it jumps from day to day to day, and there are scenes that restart. Once you know how the movie's going along, It's like they restart it so that you notice things that you hadn't noticed before.
Oh, okay, that's cool. Yeah. I think we all got used to that with Pulp Fiction.
Yeah, it's excellent. The movie's really good. The movie's called Go.
And Jay Moore, that TV show, the show Action, probably isn't going to be around.
It's a stinker. Oh, you know the guy we had on the show just a couple weeks ago, Kevin Pollak?
See ya.
They already canceled the show. They canceled it today.
Do you get the impression, like, when I was thinking about that, that's kind of meaningless to him, that he could care less? He just jumps into another character role, and he'll be, you know, I mean, probably for everybody else associated with the show is suicidal, but for him, you know, he'll be all right.
You know,
Kevin Pollak, he doesn't matter.
I can't believe when we had Kevin Pollak on the show last month that we didn't bust his balls about the worst movie he ever made, the movie Indian Summer.
Oh, God.
You ever see
that? We did that the first time we had him
on
the show.
Well, we should have done it all over again.
Indian Summer.
Because I saw that movie on HBO this weekend.
That's a horrible movie.
That's his worst movie. Worse than when he was in Grumpy Old Men.
That's up with one of the worst movies ever made. I think that really is. That's up with, you know, some of the top, maybe the top 20 worst movies ever made.
The movie Indian Summer has Kevin Pollak and Bill Pullman with long hair, where they play a bunch of, it's supposed to be like The Big Chill.
Yeah.
Where there are a bunch of grown-up people who go back to a summer camp that they went to when they were kids.
And they all rekindle their relationships, and it is a
suck
fest.
I mean, they think that hilarity ensues.
Yeah, and you get all the, you know,
but it don't happen.
The nerd from the camp, and the, you know, the two that were in love from the camp, and it's supposed to be.
And the hottie.
Formula for success, and it really is. Now, that's a list someday. You know, we've had our best movies, but if we came up with a list of the worst movies ever made.
Really got to think about that.
That requires a great deal of thought.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hey.
Hey.
How you doing?
Hey, great, thank you. I don't know. Guy's trying to play us something.
You're going to hear a lot of that with Halloween because, you know, those things are all out there right now. Everybody's got the little trinkets.
Here's a guy who says he has the tape of Jim Gray with Pete Rose. Dave, do you really have that?
I have it queued up and ready to go.
Beautiful, Mike. Now, listen. Listen to the Bulldog.
Okay, very good.
Listen to Jim Gray when he goes after Pete Rose. It was the third time that I started to feel bad for Pete Rose.
Okay, great.
Okay.
Listen. Ready?
Yeah.
Here we go.
Okay. Anytime.
Thank you very much, Anna. Pete, congratulations. It was quite an ovation. First off, Pete, let me ask you now. It seems as though that there is an opening. The American public is very forgiving. Are you willing to show contrition, admit that you bet on baseball, and make some sort of an apology to that effect?
No, I'm not going to miss something that happened. I know you get tired of hearing me say that, but I appreciate the ovation. I appreciate the American fans voting me on that all-century team, and I'm just a small part of a big deal tonight.
With the overwhelming evidence, isn't that report? Why not make that step with the
company? It's a festive night to worry about that. I mean, because I don't know what evidence you're talking about. I mean, just show it to me.
But we don't want to debate that, Pete.
Well, why not? Why do we want to believe everything he says?
Acknowledging the ban. Why did you sign it if you didn't agree?
Yeah, but it also says I can apply for reinstatement after 1 year. If you remember correctly, in the press conference, matter of fact, my statement was
at this point, I'm still not feeling bad for Pete Rose.
Yeah,
my press conference. So you forgot to add that clause that was in there.
Well, you have applied for reinstatement in 1997. Have you heard back from Commissioner Selig?
No, and that kind of surprised me. It's only been 2 years, though, and he's got a lot of things on his mind, but I hope to someday.
Pete, it's been 10 years since you've been allowed on the field.
Yeah.
Obviously, the approach that you have taken has not worked. Why not, at this point, take a different approach?
Oh, well, you said it hadn't worked. What do you exactly mean?
You're not allowed in baseball. You're not allowed to earn a living in the game you love, and you're not allowed to be in the Hall of Fame. And
well,
that
I
should be your
approach. That was applied for reinstatement. And I hope Bud Stewart considers that. He gives me an opportunity. I won't need a third chance. All I need is a second chance.
Pete, those who will hear this tonight will say that you have been your own worst enemy and continue to be. How do you respond to that?
What way are you talking about?
By not acknowledging.
Is that when you sort of feel sorry for him? Right there.
Right here.
Moment,
yeah, I'm surprised you're bombarding me like this. I mean, I'm doing an interview with you on a great night, a great occasion.
Right here.
A great ovation. Everybody seems to be in a good mood.
This is where Pete Rose turns it around on him.
Well, I bring it up because I think people would like to see you get it on. See, we got to go. We got a game.
The prosecutor's brief is not in there. I'm very surprised at you.
I am, really. Well, some would be surprised if you didn't take the opportunity. Let's go upstairs to Hannah. Congratulations.
That's where he loses me.
Yeah,
that's cheap.
It's a prick.
See, I mean, when he moves out, well, we've always known that Jim Gray is a prick. I mean, that's the way he is, and we've had Jim Gray on the show, and we've pretty much told him so.
But I'm telling you, when you watch it, you got to see the facial expression.
Yeah.
When Pete Rose gives it back to him at first. And it's like, what evidence? And I'm thinking, I'm watching a good fight here. But at one point, Pete Rose just has the life taken out of his face. And he's like, why are you doing this now? Mm-hmm. I've answered your question.
Then when he starts to turn it around, you know, you're doing this on the night. And then Jim Gray's like, we got to go now.
Yeah.
That's not fair.
Yeah, they rush him off.
I mean, of all the things, it might have even been balanced if he'd let him have his say. And then maybe followed it up with, well, I know the fans, you know, respect you enough to vote you onto this. And believe me, the last thing I want to do is defend Pete Rose. But I'll tell you right now.
Hey, me too, man.
You know what it reminded me of? Dan Rather and George Bush.
Yeah, when George Bush was kind of torpedoed by Dan Rather. It was a similar type of thing, and it ends up where the journalist comes across as the story, and that's when you're not doing your job as a journalist.
You should have seen it.
Oh, that's amazing.
You know, hopefully that guy will send us the tape so you can see. Because there's that one point...
Where he just looks pathetic?
And he just looks right at the camera, and he's like, I've answered your questions. Can we please... And it was at that moment that, boom, all of a sudden... I feel bad for Pete Rose.
Well, it's no surprise to me that the network got all those calls because, I mean, really, that's there is a time and a place. This was the All Century team?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And, you know, he had just gotten all these accolades and he's enjoying his one moment. And this guy that hasn't been in a ballpark, you know, he's banned from baseball.
Little prick, Jim Gray.
I hope he comes on the show. I would like to ask him about that and tell him that I'm with him until he was so relentless that he wouldn't give up. And if you go through and count, five times he asks him basically the same question.
Right. And it's not like this isn't covered ground either. I mean, this is these are questions. Pete Rose gets these questions constantly. It happens all. But Pete Rose, you know, what an awkward position to feel sorry for him.
You know, in the beginning, Pete Rose is like a swinging dick.
He always is like that.
Where he says, you know, hey, well, if there's such evidence, I'd like to see that evidence. And I'm watching that and I'm thinking, you know what? Now I'm seeing some good drama.
Right.
But then it reaches the point when it gets to be too much.
Well, I think what he does, Jim Gray is such a pit bull that he makes it personal real quick about Jim Gray, and then Jim Gray just won't let go. You know, it's like one of those dogs that latches onto the arm and just won't let it go. And then at the end, that's what blew me. The thing that really, at the very end, when he said, hey, look, let me tell you something. Okay, Pete, we got to go.
Back to you, Hannah.
Ooh. And Jim Gray is that way of talking. Pete, we got to go. Okay, thank you.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, this is a question for Mike. How you doing, guys?
Fine, thank you.
What'd you think of Payne Stewart dying? Did you hear that yet?
Payne Stewart was a great golfer. I love Payne Stewart. I mean, I was always a fan of his, and I think that's a shame that happened. And
kind of a question is that?
I know.
What response do you
think? Like, what do you think? What do you say? I'm happy about it.
Well, no, I didn't know if you'd heard it yet.
No, gee, we work at a radio station. A guy's plane crashed with no pilot 5 hours ago. No, but thank you for the bulletin.
Payne Stewart was on my fantasy golf team. He's on Rob's fantasy golf team, too. We're bummed.
Hello, Charlie.
Hello. Speaking of Payne, Jim Nance is doing interviews regarding that subject.
Oh, that's why he's not available?
Right.
Oh, you mean with the Payne Stewart?
Right, so he may be calling later today, but I'm not sure.
Okay, maybe tomorrow will be all right.
Okay.
All right, either way. Thank you.
Okay. Payne Stewart was a guy that came across with that similar kind of swinging guy attitude. He would almost, you'd always straddle the line with him with Payne Stewart as to...
Well, he wore those fag pants.
He wore the knickers, yeah. But when he would be interviewed, he'd always be, he's very cocky, very confident guy, and you could sometimes go back and forth on him. But I think anybody that saw what he did at the Ryder Cup when he conceded the match to Colin Montgomery after the USA had clinched the Ryder Cup, that was an unbelievably classy move, and it's really going to be one of the last things people remember him for, and what a great way to go out.
Buzz, was this guy the guy that just got in trouble for making the Chinese thing?
No.
Who is the golfer?
No.
There's some
I'm trying
golfer.
To remember who you're talking about.
I saw it on ESPN this weekend where they're talking to this golfer, something about the Ryder Cup, and this golfer makes his eyes go slanty and sticks his teeth out and goes, oh, you can tell him that we are all Americans. We are all Americans.
Really?
He was doing an anti-Chinese thing.
Don't think there was Payne Stewart.
All right, well, somebody call and tell me who that golfer was.
And anybody remembers the U.S. Open, I think you watched the U.S. Open, actually, this year.
Yeah, where he made that putt that went uphill.
Oh, man, one of the greatest U.S. Open finishes of the world. I mean, you know, to go out on a year like this, I mean, you can't look back on what a great year he had. His last year, unfortunately, what a great year it was for him.
The whole thing with the plane, though.
That's weird.
The plane is flying, and they don't know where.
Do they have any explanation on that yet?
Are
they
going to crash?
They think when it reached altitude in Florida that the cabin depressurized, and that meant no oxygen, which meant everybody suffocated. And so the plane, the Learjet apparently, crossed the country from Florida to South Dakota with nobody flying it.
By itself. And Mike and I were watching a great television moment. This is a tragic story. But we were laughing our asses off, and we were watching
Lou Waters on CNN.
Right. You watch these anchors sometimes, man. They are so professionally clueless about the subject.
It was a time when this guy, Lou Waters, who's a guy we dump on all the time on
right.
CNN,
right.
One of the times that he couldn't look at the monitor mm-hmm. and have it written down for him. So
right.
they bring in Jim Huber, their golf guy.
Yeah.
And he's supposed to ask Jim Huber, like, what kind of guy was
Jim Huber? Did you get the impression once that Jim Huber obviously knew Payne Stewart pretty well? I mean, he looked like a couple of times he was getting emotional.
Hold on. I got some people say it was Payne Stewart made those Chinese comments.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'm telling you, that was just last week in the news. Hello? Chris.
Hello there. Down the mic?
Chris, hi.
Hey, how's it going? It's Chris in Sacramento.
Right, hi.
That was Payne Stewart who made those comments.
Oh, my God.
Right, I thought so, yeah.
I believe it was during a rain delay on his last tournament, Friday, Saturday.
You mean this past weekend?
Wow.
Yeah.
No, last weekend. This past weekend.
No,
last
just a couple days ago.
No. I heard about
it.
No.
Or maybe a week ago, maybe.
Well, obviously it wasn't that big a deal where he really, you know, where...
It was on ESPN.
Yeah.
I mean, where they had him going, oh, well, I want to tell you...
He apologized an hour later.
Did he apologize after that?
Yeah, he tried to apologize. He made some sappy excuse that Peter...
Yeah, all right, you know, the guy's dead.
Okay. I'm just trying to point out...
Sure, I know you are, but I mean, you know...
That was the last thing that I remember.
Yeah, who knows whether it's a sappy excuse. I didn't see it.
Hello? Oh, here's someone who can tell us. Dennis.
Hey, it was Payne Stewart who made that Chinese remark, and he was talking about Peter Allis, whoever he is.
Peter Allis is a British golf commentator.
Yeah, and he was making fun of him, but why didn't he use the Chinese?
Now, you know what? Dennis, you're absolutely right, because
Peter Allis is this
the
huge.
Story I saw on ESPN,
right.
when they played this tape, and I mean, Payne Stewart like stuck his teeth out and
right.
made his eyes go slanting,
right.
they said, well, we don't get is why he would do this anti-Chinese thing
mm-hmm.
when he was trying, when he later apologized, said he was making fun of a British guy.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. All
okay?
right.
Okay. I mean, I don't get it.
Peter Allis is a guy, if you've ever seen Peter Allis, he does this, he does a show that, I don't know if it's on the Golf Channel, it's one of he's a big fat guy, and he does a show where he goes to like these resorts to play golf with another guy, and they've got him mic'd,
yeah.
and you can hear the Rob Spiewak mic technique where you get the
right.
Now, but lovely. See, it's been out of. We're going to go in for a vice to eat. Perhaps a glass of scotch.
Sounds like too fat, lady.
Oh, it was. Maybe he just screwed up trying to imitate that guy. It came out wrong.
Oh, no.
Oh, really?
Mm. I saw the tape.
Yeah.
Mm. No way. Yeah. He was doing a Chinese thing.
I mean, I guess it doesn't really matter now, does it? No.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hi, regarding the Payne Stewart's jet going down, it did depressurize because when the fighter planes pulled up alongside, all the windows were frosted over, which meant that the temperature inside the jet, you know, was different than the outside, and it caused everything to frost over.
I'm going to tell you something. Okay, thank you. You're as annoying as the guy that we saw on MSNBC.
The guy...
This is a guy who's just like a White House reporter, but when JFK Jr.'s plane crashed, because this guy had flown an airplane one
right,
time,
right.
they pulled this guy out like he's an expert, and he's just talking out of his ass.
Like that. You know,
same thing, but before they knew all the facts about this plane going down today.
Yeah, I guess you don't have to be, and a plane really depressurizes unless it's total mechanical failure, and obviously the plane was still flying. It depressurizes and gets frosty on the inside if there's like a hole somewhere, right? Like a window blows out?
Or they think perhaps there was some kind of leak. But all of this is speculation. They're going to have to literally put the pieces back together and try to figure out what did cause the crash.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
It's a beautiful day when you've got a new chair.
Oh, it's your guy.
Big ass is just floating on air. And when you wake up in the morning, you say, it's going to be a happy
that's your man, Mike.
Man, even writing the songs about the new chair.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don and Mike, how you doing?
Hey, buddy.
Hey, I was going to know what Payne Stewart was making fun of. Airless was saying that from the British perspective, they can't tell any difference between Americans and Chinese. And I don't get the joke, but that's what he was responding to.
Okay.
All right, thank you.
Also, Don?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm a pilot, too, and that airplane...
Okay, right. Goodbye.
Hello. Please. He didn't... Oh, two more information than his
name. Had enough of that. He sounded like, just like the guy on MSNBC. Well,
right.
I flew an airplane one time. I want to tell you about this. But the funniest thing is, so Mike and I are watching this coverage on CNN. And this guy, Lou Waters, who's the guy who's very Ted Baxter-like.
Lou Waters!
He has the silver hair.
Right. CNN perfectly square head, oversized. It dwarfs my body 50% to 50%.
Spends a lot of time in the tanning booth. This is the guy who's excellent when they write it down for him. You're like,
right. George W. Bush on the campaign trail. We'll be back with more on the world today.
But this is a time when he has to ad-lib.
And it really, and obviously I don't think he's a big sports fan, or maybe not a big golf fan, because he really does appear to be struggling with the,
This guy said, more than Joel A. Spiewak ever said, in his life.
He was obviously, popular, with his fans that, liked him. You know, I mean, that kind of stuff.
What can you tell us about him? And then he would stumble through this question, and then it was a wide shot with both guys on camera.
Right.
After he would ask this really moronic question, he would take his index finger and put it up by his temple
to look thoughtful,
and as if he's really caring about this. Like,
Waters,
you see that?
I look intelligent.
I just asked a question on my own. On the show, it's Lou Waters with you.
Hello, WJMTV News. Lou.
John and Mike, last call. Hello.
Hey, I know what caused that plane crash. Plane ran out of fuel.
It had just refueled.
All right, thank you. Another theory shot. Thank you, though.
Yeah, how far can they fly, though? I mean, it just refueled. What, well, I'm not a pilot. I won't pretend
to
know.
It started. It refueled in Orlando, right?
But it ran out of fuel. That's why it crashed.
No. It ran out of fuel, as you so eloquently put it. It ran out of fuel with everybody already dead.
But it had not just refueled, because it flew from Florida to South Dakota.
Right.
So, I mean, it had been flying a while. But
how long that fuel is supposed to last, I have no idea.
But there were all dead people in there.
Did it take off from Orlando, and did it make any stops after it left Orlando?
No, it did not.
Thank you.
Yep.
All right, hold on. One more guy. Oh, wait, I just want to put this whole Payne Stewart thing to bed. Here's a guy who says he has a clip of Payne Stewart making these comments.
Don and Mike, what is up?
The ones I saw at ESPN.
Wow.
Okay.
You ready?
Yeah.
Here you go, buddy.
Here we go.
I just want Peter Alice to know that all of us American governments on the water come to you. We are Chinese too. Thank you very much.
Okay, see?
A late John Stewart.
A late Payne Stewart.
See, so for me, that's what you'll be remembered.
Yes.
It was a lovely tribute. Thank you very much. Now, lines, they shall be cleared.
All right.
And it's time for secret sound number 7.
This is another tough one.
Yeah, it's an impossible sound. More impossible than the last impossible
sound. That's right.
And it's worth $500 if you are the 100th person. So please call the Rockhead. Right now, we've just taught him how to count all the way to 100.
Yeah, that's right. He's using his toes twice.
Phone number is 1-877-365-3636. Be the 100th caller, and good luck.
With a picture of him, got a tall, young, strong gentleman named Stedman, so handsome. He's my favorite out of all of them. Jenny Jones, Marilyn Cahan, Maury Povich, Latimer, Leno, Montel, Ricky Lake,
Colorado,
Mike Douglas. Oh, Mike Douglas. You know, Mike Douglas used to make me moist when I watched his show. I would get moist when I watched his show. Only white man ever did that to me was Mike Douglas.
You know what? Me too.
Here, here.
If you were living in Northern California, congratulations. 2:30 p.m. local time in Sacramento. You're hearing the show on K-8-T-K.
Let's go, girls.
They talk too much. Don and Mike.
Come on.
Caller 100 times. And here we go. Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hello.
Hello. You are the 100th caller.
Excellent.
What's your name?
Daryl.
Hi, Daryl. Where are you from?
Sacramento.
Beautiful.
TK.
Just mentioned that station by name. Daryl, caller 100. You've won the Blockbuster Video Halloween prize pack, including your own copy of The Blair Witch Project. Now available to rent at all Blockbuster Video locations. Blockbuster Video. Go home happy. But don't expect much from this movie.
No.
Well, I tell you.
We were disappointed.
We thought it kind of sucked.
You just want to go out in your yard and, like, throw rocks around.
Here's the more important news, though. You are standing right in front of $500 cash. All you have to do is identify secret sound number 7. Have you heard it?
Yes.
Do you think you have an idea?
I think I have an idea.
All right, well, let's roll then. We will play the noise. Please don't answer until the music's over and Mike sings like Hank Hill for $500 now. Good luck.
Caller, name this noise.
That's it.
everyday sound. And as of this moment, neither Mike nor Buzz has noodled this one through either. Stop them. Very nice. Nicely done.
Feeling stronger.
And for $500, it must be the champ.
Yes, it is.
For $500, what is the secret sound number 7?
It sounds like scissors cutting something.
Would you please repeat that?
Scissors cutting something.
No!
Oh, we're sorry.
Absolutely not. Thank you, though, my friend.
All righty.
And once again, I really got to say this a minute. Every guess
is a clue for you.
We've had a couple of good guesses, so keep track of the guesses, and we'll do it again before the end of today's show.
That's right.
One other sports note from the weekend about our local beloved team, the Redskins.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they suck. They lost to the Cowboys again.
Thought they might lose that game. There was so much hype surrounding that game for the Redskins. Haven't been in that situation where they've been overwhelming overdog.
And after the game... Jesus Christ. You know, I wish we had Norv Turner on the show.
Yeah.
I really do. This is the year that we should have had the guy on. We've had him on the last 5 years.
Yeah, he's really the point man in the news about the Redskins.
When he's not had much to say. Imagine this. This new owner of the Redskins is such a ball buster that they lose this game to Dallas. Now, they're still 4-2, and they're still in first place.
Right.
But they lose the game, and immediately after the game, the owner comes down and takes Norv out of the locker room, takes him to a back room, and screams at him for 30 minutes. I mean, I had people, you know, because I did the Redskins pregame show.
Right.
There were people that work on the broadcast down there said you could hear Snyder screaming at him through the door. Snyder comes out of the door after 30 minutes. His face is red.
Yeah. Wow.
He's so pissed.
That's incredible.
So now, like, Norv has to fire somebody now. Norv has to fire either the special teams coach or fire the defensive coach or fire the whole team now.
You know, in the tradition of the hands-on owner, I mean, guys like Steinbrenner, Jerry Jones, they've showed that they can be successful when they're that type A kind of
but
thing.
But that's too quick, though, man. I mean, the guy's still 4-2.
And Steinbrenner did it with the Yankees during the ALCS.
I know, but, I mean, they just lost the game. I mean,
that's the best time to do it.
15 minutes after they lose the game, he says, hey, incidentally, come here. I need to talk to you.
Right, yeah.
Oh,
what do you think? What is your, I don't know whether, I know a part of you likes that idea, to motivate.
I think it's too fast.
You think it's too fast?
Listen, if anybody knows.
What do you think? What kind of damage can be done when you do something like that?
Oh, are you kidding? That Norv now.
Yeah.
Norv is probably a more paranoid and petrified now than he ever was. If I'm Norv, I go, you know, Christ, I'm 4-2. I'm still in first place.
A lot of fans might say, though, hey, it's about time the Redskins have, and I won't include Jack Kankut because it was a different administration, but it's good to see an owner that, is so into it that he's running down there and he's letting it. Especially if you're talking about a lack of intensity, which was the knock on the Redskins for the game.
I don't disagree. I'm just saying that, let the guy put his pants on first.
Yeah.
Before you go in there, before Johnny, I own the team, goes running in there to scream at him.
I'm not defending Snyder at all because, I don't think that's any way to motivate in any circumstances. But I'll tell you, it's just, it's certainly different. And I know, there are so many Redskins fans that are going to go, if I was a diehard Redskins fan, like some people that have, grown up here and lived here there, and I saw that, I'd probably be saying to myself, hey, man, I was pretty pissed at the end of the game, too. And I'm glad the owner went in there and lit a fire under somebody. Probably be pretty psyched about it.
No, I understand. I'm not saying it was wrong.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying, let the guy take a shower and everything.
Well, you'll talk to Norv this week, won't you? Maybe?
Yeah, I'll see him on Wednesday.
Yeah, I'd love to hear what the...
Yeah.
Of course, he'll give you the company line.
Everything's fine, though.
Everything's
going great.
He's the owner of the team, and he's got a chance to give his frustration.
Meanwhile, you got the Snyder's like Michael J. Fox coming in there screaming his head off, I am so angry at you!
I have people from Dallas... You made me look bad.
Jumping up and down. We lost this game. I'm wearing my Redskins belt buckle. Damn you, Coach Norm.
I wanted this game. This is the one I really wanted.
And I want to go.
Why did you do this? I want to win.
Meanwhile, you had to be pissed that not only was Jerry Jones you know, on the field during the game.
Yeah, with Nelson Mandela.
Yeah, he had Nelson Mandela up in the booth.
Uh-huh.
Now, if ever there has been an odd couple,
right,
when they had the shot of Jerry Jones with Nelson Mandela, it,
very strange bedfellows.
It made me want to puke.
Jerry Jones, I've never seen, I don't think there's an owner in sports that has a love affair with the camera more than Jerry Jones.
Do you remember, though, the one time a couple years ago he had, was it the goddamn Sultan of Brunei?
Right. And
he had some guy with a turban on the sideline.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy was standing right next to the coaching staff.
How are you? Come on up here, your highness, your royal highness. It's in the owner's box.
Oh, I love the Cowboys.
We have your third world country, actually. Sews together the Dallas Cowboys cheerleaders uniform. You look at the stitching on those white shorts that are hugging that woman's behind.
Oh, such a tight ass.
Yes, she does. Terrific. Fantastic.
And did you see when they gave Nelson Mandela a Cowboys hat? A baseball hat. You know, and if ever a guy looks out of place with a hat, with a baseball, with a ball cap, it's Nelson Mandela. But as soon as he's on TV, somebody gives him the poke, like, hey, look at the monitor.
Right.
Anyway, he's holding up like this, like, Cowboys.
Cowboys, here it is.
Cowboys, yes, Cowboys.
He's probably saying, who is this strange man with the yellow teeth that I'm sitting next to? Who is this Jerry Jones?
So your breath is very, very bad.
I tell you, I know I am in Texas because your teeth smell like a saddle.
A saddle used by Roseanne.
Hello, Nelson. Welcome to the Dallas Cowboys.
It's good to be here, but please, could you turn away from my face? When you are addressing me, turn away.
Hi.
Oh, that is horrible. That is truly death breath. Please, do something about those molars.
Hello, Don and Mike, sir. Hello.
Hey, Don, how you doing?
Hey, Baldy.
Hey, the Dan Snyder thing, there's more to that story. It's not so much that he pulled Turner out of the locker room. He took Turner into the training room and locked the door so the players, during the time they were in there, could not go in and get treatment for their injuries.
Right. Yeah, I mean, he made quite the scene, man.
Oh, yeah.
Like the scene.
It was 15 minutes or 40 minutes, but a lot of the players were pretty upset they couldn't go in there and get treatment.
Correct me if I'm wrong. That's the kind of thing, like, especially, you know, the first thing to do when it hurts is to ice the area, right? So they were probably really concerned about that.
Don and Mike show. I know that's what we do with all our injuries here.
Yeah, because we still follow the Jane Fonda workout tapes.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Buddy.
We don't still have those tapes, do we, Robbie? Did we destroy the Jane Fonda workout tapes? That was one of our longest running tapes.
Yeah. Well, first thing to do is ice the area.
Ice the area. The first thing to do when it hurts is to ice the area.
Hello. That's the only, you know what? I'll let you get on here. Hold on a second. The only good thing about watching the Yankees win that game last night.
Right.
Was watching that prick Ted Turner and his big fake boob, hard boob wife.
There's another hot hands-on owner.
Jane Fonda.
There's another owner, you know, takes it personally.
Aw. Did you see Larry Suckass King calling today?
Oh, God, Larry King. You listen when he says he's an owner.
He's
a stockholder. What a dink.
Reflections. Dilemma, dilemma, dilemma.
Hi, this is Larry King.
Okay. Here's the situation. Supplying the bread. Ted Turner was best man at my wedding and a dear friend.
Best man at my wedding.
Dear friend.
Absolutely.
He also is my boss. He and his Time Warner pals own the Atlanta Braves, which means, as prominent stockholder, I am technically pot owner.
Oh, shut up, Larry.
Oh, my God.
Right.
God. Please.
What was he last week? He was,
Reinventing manhood.
Reinventing
manhood.
And now he's part owner of the Atlanta Braves.
Oh, God.
And, you know, we're also concerned whether Larry, the kid from Brooklyn, is going to pull for the Yankees or the Braves. Who cares, Larry?
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Yeah, Don and Mike.
Yeah, buddy.
I think one of the reasons the Redskins owners were so mad is that the Redskins did actually fire the first place for that loss yesterday. Because both teams have two NFC.
All right, excuse me. Right. Why don't you do the pregame show, though?
Sports Talk Radio.
Right, I hate that.
What are the symptoms?
I hate that bull-ass word. You know, yes, technically they're tied since the Cowboys beat them. Right? If it goes to a tiebreaker.
If it went to a tiebreaker today, unfortunately, the Redskins would not be holding it. Please, number one.
Kiss my ass. They're tied, okay?
They're doing such a defense. Such bad shape. But still, even Bill Armstrong is not capable of motivating the defense in that circumstance.
Bobby Valentine, the Mets manager.
Listen to this. This is Larry again.
Is another dear friend.
Mm-hmm.
What to do?
Yeah.
What to do?
Oh, Larry, your dilemma.
How can I root for both teams?
You're so powerful.
Confession. My heart went Metsville.
Mm-hmm.
I guess you can take the boy out of New York. But you can't take New York out of the boy.
Yeah, who to root for, Larry?
Now, dilemma number two. Joe Torre, manager of the Yankees, has been a friend for
30 years.
30 years. Was he your friend? Did you play ball with him with Sandy Koufax?
George Steinbrenner, Yankees owner, has always been extremely kind to me and my family.
This is like the ultimate name dropper, right. Caleb.
The World Series is now on, and my heart is going to Atlanta. Toss a coin. It's the Braves. And to be honest, being raised in Brooklyn, I never really liked the Yankees. And the hard part tells me that Bobby Cox, Braves manager, deserves this. After the incredible decade he and his team have had.
That cinches it. I'll be going with my boss's team, the Braves. Boy, like there was any real doubt that was going to happen.
You know, and this guy gets a quarter of a goddamn page in USA Today, the nation's newspaper, for this.
Boy, I am so big. You know what that column really says should be written like this. Hi, this is Lay King. I'm so big and incredibly powerful and so wonderful and so great that I have all these fantastic show business friends, and I don't know who to root for. That makes me feel so important and so special, and I'm telling you something you probably don't care about, but it's my newspaper column, and no one edits me, and I'm able to write whatever I want. So here it is. I think I'll go with the man that signs my paychecks and the man that I suck up to, a man who's
my best man at my wedding,
the man where I have a cot inside of his buttocks. I'm Lay King, and I'm picking the Atlanta Braves.
Please, I want to tell you something, that I work for CBS, and I own a lot of CBS stock, and I think that Mel Karmazin is a genius, but I will tell you this. I will never watch Judging Amy.
There you go.
Bravo. I think once and again, blues.
I really admire your integrity.
Once and again is CBS show or an ABC show?
Once and again is ABC. Now and again is CBS.
Now and again. That's right. The show I refuse to watch.
It's a good one.
Right.
Judging Amy.
And Family Law? Please, I'd rather read a book than watch Family Law. I'm loyal to CBS, but I got to tell you, that's where it ends.
That's right. It's the difference between you and Larry.
Every week, Larry...
Hi.
And you do the tomahawk chop when you're watching the CBS programming.
Every week, Larry King tells us how he's connected to whatever's in the news that week.
That's
this
right.
Week, it's the World Series.
Absolutely.
He's connected.
Mm-hmm. Now, so incredibly connected, Buzz, because he's happening.
Right. And I love it. You know, more than that, I love when he takes his wife, Sean Southwick King, her family, and that star college quarterback that somehow Larry is trying to brainwash us into believing has his genes in the kit. You know,
his sperm is so strong. I mean, yes, after all, he has reinvented manhood. And Chance Armstrong King.
Right.
He's very Moses-like.
He's very Moses. Dignitaries will know him.
Presidents.
Famous people.
Presidents will know him.
You know, I do hope, I pray that when I am Larry King's age, that I am not that insecure. I hope that it's, you would think, the average normal people, most of them, I think, once you, that's why old men are curmudgeons, when it's like, hey, this is called, send it back. You've reached a level of security where you don't need to do this. Larry King obviously still has the insecurities of a teenage boy,
like
and that's why he writes that column.
Please, like me.
And you know who really has the kick me sign on his back?
Mm-hmm.
Out of all of this ass-kissing in Larry King's column, there's one guy that he does want to jump on. There's one guy he does feel secure enough to jump on.
Who is he slamming?
Charlie Steiner from ESPN.
Yeah.
A few guys left on ESPN. Who really gets what ESPN is about? He's not...
And he was great on this show. He was funny when he came on this show.
He's not one of those pretty boys more concerned with his catchphrase of the week.
And I had... Is the other baseball announcer he's talking about, Ernie Harwell, who was doing the American League chat?
Yeah.
And I heard a little of that.
Hello, life support system.
I mean, we're talking about... Fly ball to left field is a good turn.
So, as Larry continues to suck ass, he sucks the ass of Bob Costas and John Miller and Vin Scully.
Right.
And then here you go. Here's the one guy he's going to give it to.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and he continues to suck ass further in this column.
Right.
Don Hewitt from 60 Minutes.
Right. A good friend.
Asked him what he thought about The Insider, the movie. Right. Because Larry King's opinion really matters to Don Hewitt.
Yeah, Don Hewitt's going to pick up the phone. Boy, I don't want to make that decision just yet. Let's get Larry King on the phone.
And he also spoke with Mike Wallace. Because Mike Wallace can't make a move without talking to Larry Zeiger. Okay, so here's the one guy he's going to bust on this column. On the radio broadcast of the championship series, it was fun hearing the ageless Ernie Harwell.
Well, let me tell you something. As somebody who listened to that and really was interested in the game, the Yankees against the Red Sox, and I heard a little of old Ernie Harwell, who really should have, hung up the microphone maybe 20 years ago. It was so bad, it was hard to even tell what was going on in the game.
But the National League side, unfortunately, had Charlie Steiner. The best I can say is that his interpreter failed to show up, requiring every action play to be fully explained to the listener
after the action was over.
So it's like, you know, he kisses ass and then finally goes, hey, Sean, I really gave it to the ugly guy from ESPN this week.
You know, and you know what that, you know, that falls into the category of this is a guy that Larry feels, you know, will not be on, you know, an up-and-coming guy. Will not be somebody who can help Larry.
Sean, look, he's uglier than me.
Sorry, that's that guy on ESPN.
That's the guy with the beard.
I've decided I don't like him.
Larry, your sperm is so strong.
I'm reinventing manhood. I'm reinventing the chalk at the corners of my mouth.
We'll be back.
They would like to become a radio and a desk jockey.
The program director was just listening to your show, and he asked me to give you this.
McPhee Yuxpoo, the Don and Mike Show.
This is a good point in the show to call disc jockey George McFly.
Oh, yeah. George McFly, friend of this show, and a gentleman that gets around a little bit.
I got to call home. Hey, Robbie, get your pencil out. We're just going to have to write down the number. I mean, give you the number. I wrote it down at home. His home number. I don't think I brought it in today. You know, Kooky George McFly's landed in Spokane. Hey, buddy.
Hey, Dad.
Hey, good game Saturday.
Thanks.
Is Mama there?
Yeah, wait there. Okay. But I think she's on the phone with Mrs. Stevens.
Roz?
Mm-hmm.
With, really? Well, tell her we're on the line then. Tell her we're on the air.
We're on the air.
I hate that combination.
It's scary, isn't it?
I hate that combination.
His voice is getting deeper, your son.
He's going to be 15 next March.
Mm-hmm.
He'll be driving next April Fool's Day.
That's true.
Wow. He turns 15 on March 31st, and the very next day, eligible to drive with me in the car.
And then he's going into NASCAR.
Or Mama in the car.
He'll be driving cars as fast as possible.
Honey, I was talking to your boss's wife. You
know? I know. Hate that.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, baby, will you do me a favor? Are you in my room?
No, I'm down in the kitchen.
Will you go into my room and, you know, over by where the TV is?
Yeah.
I wrote down George McFly's new phone number.
Oh, okay.
I wrote it down on a thing from Barty's school.
Okay, hold on.
Okay. All right, good. Well, we'll get that number. Let me give you a little background here.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder what she was talking to Roz about.
You have to ask. I'd like to know, too. That makes me nervous.
I don't like it when my wife talks to the boss's wife.
Well, your neighbors now. Your neighbors. You live in the same town.
I love that they're talking about swapping.
I'm in your room, but I'm not seeing it.
Okay, look. Hey, what were you talking to Roz about?
Swapping?
a threesome?
I see it.
Hold on. Pick up the phone.
And I think we've established Don's room is the bathroom. That's what it sounded like.
My cave.
It sounded like the bathroom.
No, that was echoing off all the electronic equipment in his TV room.
What do you talk about with her?
Black glory room.
Like, I can't have one room. Listen, I'm lucky enough to have won some awards in my career, and I'm not allowed to put them up on the wall.
You do have some awards, which you're proud of, and rightly so, but most of these are like framed Batman cartoons, so.
Honey, those are works of art.
And they'll be worth something someday.
They will. I got the real cartoons that Bob Kane drew.
I was saying that seriously. You didn't need to take that defensive tone.
I can't help it.
Yeah,
I'm like Larry King when my wife's on the phone. I get very, very defensive.
I said, those will be worth something someday. Whenever you're in that mode, you go, they will.
They're valuable. They should be in the Smithsonian.
Honey, he's dead now.
Uh-huh.
He will not... Bob Kane is dead. He will not be drawing.
So is his sister Candy.
Or Erica. He will not be drawing those pictures of Batman anymore.
And that I'm sure the framed football jersey is a work of art, too. And the Odo mask. Art.
Hey, I'm telling you something. That Odo mask, that kicks ass. As you know, Odo from Deep Space Nine sent me his face.
Pop culture.
His map. He sent me his map.
Not the band.
And I actually had it framed, along with a little letter that he sent me.
Valuable collector's items.
Right.
Oh, yeah. All right, Bill.
Come on, keep looking on that wall.
Oh, you want to hear what else? Well, then the jerseys, the signed jerseys without frames, which really, they should have some kind of infrared, security system around it. I think that's very dangerous.
Hey, right? Did she answer the question about what she was talking to Roz about?
No, what were you talking to Roz about?
Well, for one thing, she's got I was asking her to come over some morning.
Oh.
And she said, but your husband will be there. And I said, well, he'll just be playing video games in his room. We really don't have to bother with him.
Oh, honey, it makes me so uncomfortable to have Ken's wife come over.
She's a nice lady and my friend.
She'll be coming over the day she comes over. Don will be playing his video games wearing a suit.
Or to make sure she never goes back. Maybe just sit there with my hog hanging out. Let her come in my TV room and go, hey, Roz.
Oh, Roz. Oh, don't be shocked. This is the way I dress here all the time.
No, she doesn't want to, you know, the feeling's mutual. Although she likes you and respects you, she doesn't want to, you know, if you could just not be around on Thursday morning, that would solve everybody's problems. Maybe you could just rent a hotel room Wednesday night.
Oh. Is she going to come over Wednesday night?
No, but she'll be there Thursday morning.
What time Thursday morning?
Well, after the kids are off to school.
Why don't you ever come over Wednesday? That's the day after work. I have to go to Redskins Park and everything Wednesday. Do it Wednesday.
We both have things to do Wednesday.
Do it tomorrow, then.
Can't do it tomorrow. Busy schedule.
Right, well, listen, I'm sorry. I live in the goddamn house. I'm going to have to be there.
Well, you just be in your room.
What do you talk about with her?
I talk about mothering. You know, she has one son like we do. We chat about that. Chat about rolling our eyes. We chat about our husbands. She's got, believe it or not, similar complaints.
I don't think it's a bad thing that your wife is befriending our boss's wife.
But you know, is Laura busy Thursday morning?
No.
Yeah, it's
free. No.
Yeah, see, he thinks it's a good idea as long as it's my wife that's with Ken's wife and not his wife.
No. Well, Laura can do whatever she wants. We're getting help in that regard. Laura can do anything she wants.
Of course.
Right. But call her up and see if she's untied yet. See if she's worked her way out of that Boy Scout knot that Mike Tyer in the chair with before he left the house.
Well, Rob taught me.
Rob. Although, what was Rob telling us during a commercial break?
She's quiet now that he tightened the rope.
Yes.
And Rob was also telling us, you don't use nylons on your wife when you tie her up now, right?
No, because they'll cut right through the skin.
Learn from experience.
These are the discussions we have during the commercial about tying our wives up. So tell me something. What does she say? I know all the bad things you say about me. Because there are things that you would say on the radio and things I would say about myself. But what bad things does Roz tell you about Ken Stevens?
Bingo!
She doesn't say anything bad about Ken.
Oh, honey, listen, come on. You can't play it both ways.
You know, there's a code of honor among women.
No, honey, you must let that code down now.
Oh, yeah, no, I don't think so.
What does she say about it?
Like, you don't
tell me something. Does she ever discuss his underpants?
No, and I don't bring up your underpants either.
You'll get some info during that private time, won't you? You get a little info on old Ken Stevens. If there's any real info, you'll get it during quiet time with Mama, won't you?
Yeah, like, I'll be able to pry it out of her.
She'll tell me something, and if I let it slip, the six-car garage thing.
I always do.
A little pillow talk, you know.
She mentioned anything to you about him and the rack?
I don't ask that.
She doesn't offer it up like I'm so frustrated sexually being married to Ken.
Boo, we talk decorating.
She doesn't mention how it was a medical miracle that Ken was able to knock her up. You know, they've been married as long as we have. She told me one time they'd been trying to have kids for a long time, and frankly, I don't think it's Ron.
Well, we only have one child, too.
I know we do, and it's not my fault.
That's what you say.
I'm in there plugging away all the time with no protection.
That's what you think.
She's talking about Ken's, Ken's video watching, like what he watched. Does he watch women popping balloons?
Yes. Hey, honey, I'm serious. That's an excellent question. Did she ever told you, does Ken have a lot of porno?
No, she never told me that.
Does she talk about how disgusting Ken is? Can you at least...
disgusting.
I think she loves her husband.
Yeah, but in general terms, does she talk about how disgusting he is?
What, do you think I talk about how disgusting he was?
Yes.
You do? You don't think I love you?
Does Ken ever run around the kitchen like wearing just a Revolutionary War soldier's outfit with just the top?
I know you.
I'm George Washington. Here is my monument.
I know you love me, but I also know you think that I'm disgusting, and you tell that to your friends.
I don't think you're disgusting, and I don't tell that to my friends.
Oh, please. Now you're lying. Maybe not with Roz. What about with Bunny?
Your best friend.
You don't
tell Bunny I'm disgusting?
I don't say you're disgusting. I don't talk about your underwear.
You just use another word. What would be a prettier word to
you? Well, like today when I was walking the dog, we were talking for some reason about prison sex. And I said, you know, if it was ever a thing that you have, that men in prison have sex when they drop the soap, I said, in my house, my men would be safe because they never pick up anything. I would be there getting it in the butt because I'd be the one to have to step in and pick up the soap.
Fascinating conversation.
Amazing. Right there, you know what that is? That is the glimpse inside my wife's psyche.
Yeah.
She's walking the dogs of their neighbor,
right,
and somehow she works it around to anal sex. I told you, I'm never... Never, never going to do that.
I don't want that.
I'm never going to do that.
That's the point. I'm talking about if they say that men, that happens to men in prison because when they drop the soap, they have to bend over and pick it up.
Yes.
I was telling her, you never pick up anything.
Listen, I understand, Shecky. I understand the joke there. I said that we are so sloppy.
Beth, you got it.
Right, I got it. Listen, did she ever mention to you, does Ken dig dozens of holes in his backyard at night for no reason?
And buried just jars filled with nothing.
You never mentioned that to you?
No, but she did. She does have a backhoe over there today, so maybe that's the reason.
A backhoe?
Does Ken take long walks in the woods and then just come back with, like, squirrel hair on his mouth?
Yeah, Bill.
Yes?
It's hard for me to have a friend.
Why?
Because you scare them off.
Well, I don't want you to be friends with Roz.
Well, maybe I don't want you to be friends with your buddies there.
He's my boss. Eventually, one of two things is going to happen. I'm going to quit, and he's going to be pissed. Or the more likely of the two, he's going to fire me.
If I could only be friends with the people who are not mad at you, I'd have no friends.
Well, you can be friends with all the people in our neighborhood.
I need to be friends with people who potentially could be pissed at you, because that is the world.
All right.
Thank you.
Can't argue with that.
Whatever.
All right, but...
Whatever.
Whatever.
Whatever. You know, at one point, how long ago was it, the three of us, my wife, my son, and I, it must have really sounded like a John Hinckley convention. We're driving down the road, and all of us were trying to do that fat guy's voice from The Simpsons.
Whatever.
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 Whatever. I mean, we did it for 20 minutes, the three of us driving down the road.
It's fun.
It's back and forth. It's
big fun.
Well, listen, honey, love you.
Okay, you want the number?
Yes, I do, but not on the air. Hold on, please.
Oh, okay.
Hold on just a moment.
Whatever.
Oh, and put her back on hold when you get the
answer
number.
Answer me these questions. Three.
What?
Ever. Ken Stevens and his wife coming over for dinner.
Well, I'll report that to you on Thursday's episode.
Good. I'd like to know all the insides. Give me up, Ken.
Hey, honey.
Yeah.
You ever decide, you know, you don't have to recut that commercial.
Well, thank you. You know, you are not the most supportive person in the world.
Didn't I tell you that the way it's cut now is great? I mean, not on the radio, but off the radio.
You told me it didn't embarrass you, that you wouldn't allow it if it embarrassed you.
That is a high compliment.
You know what?
Thank you.
That's what I said to her.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, all right. Thank you.
I said, if you did, can't you translate that? That if you did something that was really embarrassing,
I
would have
really
stopped them and I would have said, don't put that on the radio.
Yeah,
I'm embarrassed
just
by that.
A little embarrassing, not really.
Not embarrassing at all.
Mm. Well, you know what? Some people actually tell another person they did something well.
I think I told you that you did something well. I think I told you you did a good job on that.
The only thing you've ever told me that I've done well is something that I just assumed you didn't tell everybody I did well.
And you did do that well. Even though the last time you told me not to talk about it.
I know.
That's a killer.
Past tense, too.
I finally get something good from my wife.
Right.
And as soon as we're done, and I mean, she... You know what I mean?
Right, yeah.
Full Monica?
Yeah.
As soon as we're done, the first thing she says is, you can't talk about this on the radio.
Hey, that's not bad. You can handle that trade-off. But it's still, it's actually, I think, really, that the full satisfaction of the act is only reached when you come in here and tell us about it.
Yeah, if I can't brag about it,
hey, what's the point?
What's the point of getting it?
Come on.
Right.
You can brag about it in private.
I can brag about it to everybody listening.
Not
everybody's enough. All right, love you. Thank you for the number.
Goodbye.
All right, bye-bye.
What a woman. Now, George McFly.
George McFly, longtime friend of this show.
Let me bring you up to speed on George. And then we have to do a commercial, though. Then we'll call George. Let me bring you up to speed on him. Been a friend of ours for a long time.
Right.
You folks that are regular listeners have heard him through many of the various episodes on the show.
Mm-hmm.
The last time we here on the show heard from George McFly
As a matter of fact, the last time that I, his personal friend, heard from him on, was also on the show a
right.
year ago.
Right.
When he got fired from his radio station in Denver. He was looking for a new job. And one of the stations he wanted to work at was stationed in Chicago. And I'm not saying I got the job for him, but I did call the PD, Chris Schiebel, who I know. And I'm putting a good word for George, and then before you know it...
Damaging your own reputation.
Oh, no kidding. he got... The morning show
right.
at an FM station in Chicago.
Got there within half an hour, was unhappy.
That's now that we don't know yet for
right.
sure.
Right.
Because after he got the gig in Chicago, now this is a guy who either compulsively calls me 20 times in a week,
right.
or he goes a year without calling me at all.
Mm-hmm.
So I had no idea where he was or how to get a hold of him.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't even know what the call letters were of this radio station in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I tried to look it up, and the station didn't show up in the ratings, so I had no idea what the call letters were.
Maybe that's part of the trouble, too.
Mm-hmm. So out of the blue this morning, 8 o'clock, I just got back from carpool. Phone rings. He goes, hey, buddy, howdy hi, George McFly.
Howdy hi.
I said, George.
Is he still rhyming?
Mike, I'm glad you asked that, because I told him on his show this morning, I said, are you rhyming? And he's got a girl with him. It's like one of
right.
the He Said, She Said shows.
Right.
I said, is George rhyming? And she said, oh, yes, he is.
Well, he'll never stop doing that.
Right. And that's his big crutch, is that he's got, everything with him has got to be, you know, green eggs and ham.
Right.
David Berkowitz was son of Sam.
Sure. Sure. That's still what he does.
Right. So, the last we heard from him.
He seeks your advice. He simply does not follow it.
Right. Again, you crystallize.
That's what he does, though.
Right. Exactly what's going on.
He constantly, you know, bothers you for advice to say, hey, man, tell me what I got to do here. What do I have to do? And then he doesn't really follow the advice.
So he didn't stay in Denver, as I advised him to, where he was making good money.
Mm-hmm.
He got canned, didn't stay in Chicago, calls me this morning, and out of the blue says, guess what? Oh, and listen, this is a compliment. This is just a weird look into the psyche of George McFly. He says, you know what? One of the reasons I had to leave Chicago? I said, why? He says, I couldn't hear you guys there. I had to go to a market where I could hear you guys every day.
He loves this show.
So I said, okay, George.
He does love this show. He really does.
I said, where are you at now? I'm in Spokane, Washington.
So really one of the reasons he took the job was... That's kind of...
Well...
You know, he doesn't call me personally, but that's starting to creep me out a little bit, too.
He's a big fan of this show.
Yeah.
So the last we heard, he was in Chicago.
Yes.
He's now in Spokane. We started his new job today. He called me up this morning.
First day today?
Yeah, called me at 8 o'clock our time, 5 o'clock his time before his show, to tell me what he's doing and to ask if he could call later.
Is he still married?
While he was doing his show. Sounds like he's still... Barely married.
Barely
married.
Barely married.
Said that
but
one,
she went with him to Chicago?
As far as I know.
We got to find all these things.
And he also gave his 6-year-old daughter her first enema.
That to me is, I know he's into the health benefits of that, but it
weirded me out too,
yeah,
man.
That creeps me out like to no end.
Okay, well that pretty much is the bio of our friend George McFly.
Right.
So we will do a break and come back and we'll call him.
Good.
And see what's new in his life and see if he got fired after his first day at the new radio station.
Which is always a possibility.
Coming right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
And that night was my son's birthday party. My wife invites the priest. He's always at the house.
Hey, Tony.
Hi, Don.
Right from Anglais?
Hey, you bless it. I'll eat it.
He's not coming.
Who?
Grandma just called. Started crying and hung up.
She needs a purpose in life.
No, your mother is tougher than you think. So what? No f***ing deity now?
Hey!
Dual titanic orbs of radio excellence. Don and Mike.
All right, guys, let's do some rescheduling here. Tomorrow, Jim Nance from CBS, NFL Today will be on the show.
Very good. We'll tell him that we're going to satisfy the bet. We lost the bet.
And also, apparently, he's going to have a tape where he proves he says hello to us on TV yesterday.
Ah, very good. But I'm surprised we haven't heard about that from any of our listeners.
Well, be advised that I think there's a very good chance it's probably a doctored tape.
Yeah. You can
doctor tape.
Sure.
On Wednesday's episode, Vincent Price's daughter will be here.
Yes, she has written a book that's really very, very interesting about Mr. Price.
She says her dad, Vincent Price, was not only a Nazi, but he was also gay.
Yes, fascinating.
So she'll be on.
And really, there is nothing more dangerous than a gay Nazi.
Then on Thursday, we're going to have a guy on who's written a book about penises.
Penis book.
I don't know. All I know is the guy's written the big book of penises.
Like with pictures?
I don't know. Speaking of, I don't know, Mike. All I know is that is Thursday's episode.
So it's either going to be a book about penises or it's going to be a book about the penis.
All right. And what's Braille's number again?
467.
We got a clarification right now from the producer.
I will know.
Hello?
Hey, what's the penis guy coming on for Thursday?
He's talking about the penis.
Okay, but what's the name of his book?
The penis book.
The penis book, and it's about, like, the just everything you'd want to know about the penis?
Everything you want to know about the penis, but didn't have the balls to ask.
Thank you, Captain Jonathan.
Very good.
Bye.
Charles Loring Broyhill, ladies and gentlemen.
Okay, so that's the lineup. Tomorrow, Nance. Oh, and tomorrow also the blind guy who won on Jeopardy.
Excellent. Looking forward to chatting with him.
Wednesday, Vincent Price's daughter. Thursday, the guy who wrote the penis book. And on Friday's episode, our annual Halloween show. And this year it's Trick or Teat, where we're going to be giving away $1,500 to girls who come down in costume and take their tops off.
And then reach into our sack and see what kind of prize they get.
Yeah, and we'll have $1,500 in cash there.
Very nice.
So Friday is the big Trick or Teat.
Wear your costume, you know. And there, you know, there's extra credit for costumes. We'll ooh and ah.
Sure. Yeah, sure. We'll oogle you.
Right.
We'll ogle you. And then you just take your shirt off and reach in the sack and maybe you pull out $100, maybe you pull out $500.
That's right. Well, we're talking about the big sack. We're not talking about Sacramento. Right.
That is Friday's episode. Okay, let's call George.
Now, I'll be eager to hear how his wife has reacted to his thought that he might be gay.
Well,
which he also shared with you today.
He has lots of thoughts, Buzz.
Uh-huh.
Lots of thoughts.
He also likes, you know, he's stream of consciousness 100% when he talks. And when he talks to Don, that goes like into a, you know, hyperspeed.
Mm-hmm.
He's probably moved already.
Yeah. Sounds like an answering machine.
It does.
I'd just like to point out the station that we're on.
Here we are in Spokane, Washington. 18th move. 17 years. We'll deal with it. Can you? Leave your message at the tone. We'll get back to you as soon as possible. Have a great day.
I should point out the station that we are on in Spokane is KFAN.
Right.
Of course, anybody listening to this right now in Spokane would already know that.
They would indeed.
But I'm sure the local station would appreciate me saying 79 KFAN.
Very good.
Now, George, are you there? It's Don and Mike.
Don and Mike here, George. Pick up.
Buddy, I hope you're not giving your daughter an enema right now.
I hope you're not out at a gay bar.
George, I told Mike everything. I mean, about our conversation today.
I told him everything. It's out now. You can't have him, George.
George, are you there, buddy? Did you get fired today already? How did the first show go? I loved being on the show. I loved calling in.
I guess he's not there.
George? All right, well, George, I called. I'll call tomorrow. My listeners are anxious to hear what's happening with you, George.
Absolutely.
Okay. Bye-bye. Hope you didn't do anything kooky.
Good luck.
Bye, George.
Bye.
Okay. You know what? Just to be sure, let me call back.
Okay.
Just there.
Very good. To make sure.
I mean, obviously that was his machine, but...
Yeah.
Well, he could have been sleeping or something.
He's doing the morning show, right?
Right.
Yeah.
6 to 10.
Mm-hmm. Surprised he's not there.
Then you'd be waiting for this call.
Probably waiting all day. Very excited about it. Or maybe he just got to a point where it's like, forget it.
Maybe he was mad.
Yeah.
Who didn't call
he
him?
He does that too.
Didn't call him early enough.
No. No, there's the machine again.
Definitely not there. Okay.
Here we are in Spokane, Washington. 18th move. 17 years. We'll deal with it. Can you?
That's quite a track record.
He doesn't sound real good. No.
That's quite a track record.
What would, on the stability meter, a scale of 1 to 10, what would you rate his current? 10 being the most stable and 1 being the most unstable. What would you give him?
A 3.
Oh, dear.
A 3.
Oh, my. Yeah, we've seen him lower.
Yeah, no, we've seen him at, you know, it's almost like we're rating the women,
right? We saw him in L.A. one time where Don, that's when he got mad at us because we saw him and really was like, watching something from the Dream Team.
Well, he was on some kind of steroids then.
Right. And then he got all upset because we were talking about that, and he's since mended his ways.
So he says.
So he's allegedly.
Although he still looks like a little Mark Gastineau. You know what I mean? He's got the Rassler haircut going and everything.
Does he still have that, or did he? Last time we talked to him, he said he'd cut it all off.
I don't know, Mike. I'm just going on what he had said.
Right.
I haven't seen the guy. Just heard from him the first time in a year.
today.
Did his hair come up when you talked to him today?
It did not. Although I did ask him, I said, do you have your shirt on now?
Right.
He loves doing his radio show without his shirt on. He said, no, he's got his shirt on. And then I mentioned to whoever this girl is that he's working with, I said, you know, Georgia almost got a sex suit against him because he was naked in the radio station.
Somebody complained about him being, you know, not having his shirt on, and he decided he would counter that by taking all of his clothes off.
Just doing a show in the nude, and someone from the traffic department walked in the radio station.
He's pretty horrified to see George naked.
Shocked to see George naked.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, you know, we talked about the guy and he's not there. Maybe tomorrow.
Maybe tomorrow we'll find out how he's doing.
I hate it when that works out like that. Sorry.
That's it. That's life.
I know why Jim Nance wasn't on today. Jim Nance wasn't on because he was covering the Payne Stewart plane crash.
Sure.
But George, I don't know. You know, unless George was on that plane.
You never know with George.
Could be. Buzz, is that your lead story tonight, the Payne Stewart story?
That is the big story this evening. Our headline, we almost had to shoot down a golfer today.
Really? Right, so that's what we might have had to do, right?
Right.
Okay.
It could come to that. We'll talk about that.
I guess now, technically now, if Jim Nance is working on that story, he'd be the King of Payne.
King of Payne.
King of Payne.
King of Payne.
Sting and the police, everybody.
Anytime you can get a Sting joke in there, you go for it.
Hey, stay tuned.
Stay tuned.
Stay tuned.
For news and comments.
News and comments.
Coming up.
Coming up.
On the Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike Show. That was very
Zenyatta Mundata.
Professional.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
Don, baby, how's it going?
Stay tuned for your chance to name that sound for up to $1,000 only on the Don and Mike Show.
You may experience gas with oily discharge, increased bowel movements, an urgent need to have them, and an inability to control them, particularly after meals containing more fat than recommended.
Well, thank you for that news. Washington, D.C. And although they get the call letters on the show every break.
What are they?
WJFK. Washington, D.C. You know, Jeremy actually mentioned that to me in a phone call today.
Really?
He says, you know when you do that thing with the little jingle bed? How can you never do WJFK? I said, gee, maybe it's because WJFK gets mentioned like every 10 minutes on this show anyway.
He's so greedy.
F him. Little gerbil. You know where he is?
Where?
This is a pisser, too.
He's in jail.
Oh, he's in Las Vegas, Sheriff Ed.
Oh, I'll get him.
He's in Las Vegas.
What's he doing in Vegas?
He and Ken have eloped.
Is there an NAB thing out there?
There's some kind of Infinity Radio thing out there.
In Vegas.
So he and Ken are in Vegas. They were in Vegas all weekend.
Ken and Jeremy in Vegas. The video will be out next year.
And they won't even be back until next Wednesday.
Wow.
Or maybe, I take it back, this Wednesday.
This Wednesday?
2 days from today. Wednesday.
Wednesday.
Wednesday. Yeah, so that's the bit of wisdom I get from him today. Hello? Says, yes, Ken and I are in Vegas, and we heard the show Friday.
Mm-hmm.
Your station here sounds great. I had a question, though. How come when you do the back from commercials, you never do WJFK? It's like, the guy goes all the way to Vegas and thinks about that, and that's what he calls me about.
Yeah, but he'll be in the second row, you know, with Ken of the Siegfried and Roy show.
Ken, you beat me to the punch.
Ken Stevens really wants to see those white tigers.
Sure.
He really does. And then the next night it'll be Danny Gans.
Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike. Well, one of our most famous golf pros is one of five people who died in a bizarre plane crash today. Payne Stewart, two of his agents, and both of the pilots died when the Learjet nosedived into the ground in South Dakota. The plane was supposed to have landed safely in Dallas, but once it reached altitude in Florida after taking off from Orlando, there was no response to radio calls from air traffic controllers. The best guess is the jet somehow lost pressure, suffocating the five people in the cabin. The plane flew pilotless over the Midwest as the president stood by, ready to order it shot down. The worry was that if he didn't, it might crash in a populated area. It didn't, so that wasn't necessary. Payne Stewart won the U.S. Open this year for the second time. The feds are now investigating the true cause of the crash.
That is, of course, an awful story.
I
think it would have been interesting, though, to see the plane flying by itself.
Yeah, if they there might very well be videotape.
Like the Navy fighters video or the Air Force, whoever flew out there with it.
They always get video of that kind of stuff now, don't they?
Yeah, F-16s are scrambled and pulled up alongside the jet to try to figure out what was going on.
Especially if they thought that the plane was, that they were already all dead inside. They probably would want to, that would be the only really good evidence of the plane intact where they could actually, I'm sure they have some kind of video of it.
Don't you guys think that's like something out of a movie? That's the first thing I thought. It's like, what, everybody's dead on a plane. Mm-hmm. It's a Learjet. It's flying at 45,000 feet.
Right.
It's going a million miles an hour, and there's nobody piloting the plane.
Very weird. As far as anybody can remember today, this is the first time this has ever happened with a civilian aircraft.
Do they think that it did the nosedive eventually because it was out of fuel, or was it, did something just...
I don't know. I really don't know. It could have run out of fuel, as one caller suggested, because it certainly did overshoot its mark since it was supposed to land in Texas.
I think when I was watching on MSNBC, that's why they thought it was going to go all the way to Canada.
Because that was its limit. That was its range, right?
That's when it would be out of gas and then just head right down. When it landed, Buzz, do you know, did it land nose first?
Straight down, nose first.
Probably nothing left.
A million little pieces is all this. Which is going to make it very hard to really determine the exact cause of the crash. Everything you've heard so far is just speculation, but that may be what we'll have to live with.
And they don't have a black box or anything like on a plane like that, or a five-seater, right?
I don't think so.
Again, I don't know.
Okay.
There it is. Harrison Ford crashed his helicopter over the weekend. USA Today says the actor was not hurt, and neither was his instructor. The paper says they were practicing auto rotations in a Bell 206 near Fillmore, California.
You shouldn't do that in a helicopter. You shouldn't do that.
They were practicing.
Auto rotation.
They were practicing. They wanted to make them as good as they could be.
Dirty birdie.
Oh, Buzz, about that Payne Stewart thing?
Yes.
TWA's on the phone. They want to say, by their standards, that's a pretty good landing.
Oh, God. Oh, my God.
Well, we've had some bad experiences on TWA.
Sure, we sure have.
The luggage wasn't lost. The instructor says the chopper made what he calls a hard landing in the case of Harrison Ford. The usual government agencies are investigating that crash as well.
Listen, after our auto rotations, let's do a hard landing, sailor.
How dare you, Mr. Pilot? How dare you?
All right, Mr. Ford, first of all, may I just say that I love your movies, and we're going to practice auto rotation.
How dare you?
This is not that thing that killed the guy from In Excess, right?
Not at all.
The way that we try our hard landing.
Oh!
Right across the nose.
Jerry Falwell was very careful not to offend the gays in the audience at an anti-violence forum over the weekend. The Moral Majority founder has angered gays in the past, but yesterday he told 200 gay Christians that God wants his followers to love all people, regardless of their sexual orientation. Falwell said he still believes that homosexuality is a sin, but he said there's nothing wrong with love.
John, baby, how's it going?
He said, the important thing is that we all work hard, live with integrity, and not focus on material things.
I am hard. So glad Jerry Falwell is saying that so I can live my life now with his teachings.
Work hard.
Hard.
Beware a wolf in sheep's clothing, I think are the words. So Falwell made the appearance as a favor to the man who helped him write his autobiography, a man who later revealed that he is gay.
Really?
And he did so, and they were, no, forget it.
Auto-rotate.
No, give it.
I was
there.
No,
it wasn't.
Whatever.
Whatever. We'll be back with more news and more combat coming right up.
Be her initials.
Right.
Leah M. Remini.
Oh, that's right.
Right, okay, good. Well, thank you.
It's her company.
Yeah.
And we thank Leah for the thank you.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Now, let's do a quick break here. Time for a caller 100.
Yeah.
Let's do Secret Sound.
That was an interesting first segment.
Cool. Secret Sound number 5.
All right.
Worth $500. It is a brand new sound because we had a big hairy wiener yesterday.
We did indeed.
If you want to play, be the 100th caller right now. Good luck. Phone number 1-877-365-3636.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Between Charles Barkley and Scottie Pippen?
Yes.
Okay. So Charles Barkley is pissed that Scottie Pippen has wanted to be traded from the Houston Rockets.
Right.
And Charles Barkley has come out and said, what are you doing? You want to be traded? You ruin the chemistry of the team.
Doesn't Scottie Pippen want to go to the Lakers?
Right. Scottie Pippen basically wants to go anywhere except Houston.
Right.
So Charles Barkley, who without a doubt is our favorite NBA player on this show,
mm-hmm.
who's given us great, great material. That's where F you and your families came from.
He is truly a great one for the tape recorders.
Well, they went to Scottie Pippen, and they asked him some questions about Charles Barkley.
Mm-hmm.
And Scottie Pippen really, really runs his mouth.
Really?
Here he is saying he's shocked at Charles Barkley because he's never won anything before.
I was very shocked to see what type of player he was.
Kind of like Barry White, doesn't he?
Yeah. Really, Tony?
Yeah.
Tony, I'm cutting tape. Come on, Tony. Tony.
Tony. Spending a half season with him. Oh, my God, I'm dedicated to winning, and I'm putting forth a lot of effort out on the court, and I expect that from my teammates, especially a guy of his caliber. He's not willing to go the distance, and there's no reason for me to, you know, put my last 3-4 years at risk of never winning.
All right, let me give you the...
So what is he basically saying in that quote that Charles Barkley... Charles has trash-talked Scottie Pippen, and now Scottie's saying that Charles basically doesn't hustle.
Right. And then here you go. Here's the Scottie Pippen will now pull the ace out of his sleeve.
Very good.
Now he's going to say, I should have listened to Michael Jordan all along.
Ah, the big man.
Because Michael Jordan told me
mm-hmm.
that Charles Barkley sucks.
He's a very selfish guy. He doesn't show me the desire to want to win. And that's my reason for wanting to get away from playing with him anymore. Because he don't show the dedication.
Here we go.
And I probably should have listened to Michael a year ago when he said that Charles never will win a championship because he doesn't show any dedication.
He's selling Michael out big
yeah,
time.
Of course, it's because he's back to the corner now.
I wonder really how Michael Jordan feels about it. I mean, that's really not fair. I mean, you're fighting your battle by bringing in...
I know.
But, I mean, Michael Jordan's got to be... And now, if Michael Jordan comes out and said, I never said that...
Well, he won't do that.
Yeah, he won't
come out and say that.
Right.
I bet he really did say it.
Sure.
But he's probably picking up the phone today to Scottie Pippen. What are you doing?
Yeah, come on, don't do that to me. I mean, fight your own battle.
Okay, then there's one more here. Scottie Pippen. No apology to Charles Barkley and his big fat butt.
I wouldn't give Charles Barkley an apology at gunpoint. So he could never expect an apology from me. If anything, he owed me an apology for coming to play with his sorry fat butt.
Yeah. Some great tapes.
Oh, I like that. Telling it like it is.
The continuing Charles Barkley saga. You know, Charles Barkley gives and gives and gives.
And highly uncharacteristic of Scottie Pippen to be the talker. I mean, you don't get that out of Scottie Pippen very often.
I think that's a sign of how backed into a corner he was, though. That he has to come out and say, you know, hey, in essence, what he says is my big brother, you know, Michael Jordan. Hey, well, my big brother said...
Told me don't play with him. He's not dedicated to winning.
Right.
That's a team athlete. That is really the worst thing he can say.
Fantastic. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hello.
Hello, you are the 100th caller. What be thy name, citizen?
This would be Kevin.
Kevin, where are you from?
Spokane.
Kevin from Spokane, listening on the Great K-Fan Radio. You have won chicken. Free chicken from Kentucky Fried Chicken. Try their 5 new chicken sandwiches today. Tender roast, triple crunch zinger.
All right.
Honey BBQ or KFC original recipe only at KFC.
Very good.
Poor college student.
Pardon me?
Perfect first. Poor college student.
Oh, where you go to school, sir?
Spokane Falls Community College.
Community College, also
excellent.
Known as the 13th grade.
Right.
Exactly.
Are you ready?
I am. Try
to win $500. This is a brand new secret sound that was debuted on yesterday's show. I will give you a free listen. This one is not on the clock. It's on the house. Here
right.
is secret sound number 5. That is secret sound number 5.
Sounds different than the last time you played.
Give it to you one more time. Exactly,
all right.
Exactly the same. Secret sound number 5.
Okay.
Now we'll put you on the clock. I will give you 15 seconds. Please do not answer until Mike sings like Hank Hill with a little bit of a dog howling at the end. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right, here we go.
Caller, name this noise.
The brand new secret sound. And frankly, it's our toughest sound ever. Now, ladies and gentlemen, the crescendo. Michael Mara is Chris Gaines. Okay, you, for $500, what is that secret sound?
Could it be a staple gun?
Could you please repeat that?
A staple gun.
No!
Of course.
Oh, we're sorry.
Nope, not a staple gun.
I'm so confident you're not going to get it. I'll give you a free listen. Here's another listen. This is for Mike and Buzz and for everybody listening to the show right now. Oh, there you go. See, staple gun was a pretty good guess.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, incorrect.
Damn.
Thank you.
All right.
Hold the line, please.
Oh, man. I would have gotten it if I'd eaten my chicken today. I did not have a chicken.
You did not have a whole chicken today?
No. I've been eating lots of good foods, though.
Let's get our flu shots. Are the girls here?
Let's do it.
I think we've all signed the release forms during the commercial break.
Mm-hmm.
And the release forms that basically say what? That if we die,
their fault. Right, they're clear.
Is it a heavy form that we signed?
No, because
I know there's needles involved.
They're fresh out of the bag needles. Everybody gets their own needle.
There's just a few things you need to watch out for, like an allergy to eggs, and you can't be pregnant, and you can't have had an allergy shot in the past 30 days.
And I would like to point out that I think I was probably sick more times last year. You remember that?
Yeah,
I think
you were.
I mean, really. And that's
one year we didn't get our shot.
1 year we didn't do it.
All right, well, bring the nurses in, Robbie.
Done.
I'm ready. I'll give them a plug here. Today's flu shots are courtesy of Innova Health Source.
Innova.
Mm-hmm. Innova. Hi, girls.
The big one.
Innova Health Source. For more information on getting your flu shot,
right up here.
Call 1-877-895-5-BUG.
All right.
And here are our very hot nurses coming in to poke us today.
The Nursey Wonders are here.
Hi, girls.
Hi, guys.
You know, what's amazing is that they are both completely naked, which is the first time I've had
great.
No, I'm kidding. I'm a kidder.
Our hot nurses, what are your names, girls?
I'm Susan.
Susan and?
Heather.
Susan and Heather.
All right.
Okay, well, I'd like to be the first to be poked, if you don't mind.
Very good, Don. Mm-hmm. Very, very good.
As it should be.
Now, see, you did not listen to the memo. You didn't come to rehearsal. They said you're supposed to wear short sleeve shirts.
I can roll my sleeve up.
Okay.
Just roll my sleeve up.
Uh-huh.
I'm ready. Is that okay?
No, it's actually not.
Why is that not okay?
It's not up high enough in the muscle, so we need to get the top of your arm up to the shoulder.
Very good.
All right, well, maybe I won't go first. Maybe I'll have to get myself situated, then you'll have to go to Mike first.
All right, I'll go first.
Okay.
There we go.
I'm ready. Now nurses, don't be so darn quiet. You're making me nervous. What did I not sign? Did I sign everything?
You did.
Am I okay?
As long as you read that.
I didn't read it.
And you're not allergic to eggs?
Yes, of course I read it. Let me say.
And you're not
allergic? I am not allergic to chicken eggs. I have not had Guillain-Barré syndrome or any reactions listed below for previous vaccinations. I am not now sick. With a fever or active respiratory infection, I am not allergic to thimerosal.
Yes.
Thimerosal or any mercury compounds. I'm not allergic to gentamicin or any other amoxicillin. I have not had other live virus vaccinations.
Sorry, I'm just getting myself
within the past
here.
14 days. I have not had an allergy shot in the past 48 hours.
And you're over 18 and not pregnant.
Yes, right. I'm over 18.
Okay. Right. Watch as I keep trying to knock him up. I keep trying to get him pregnant.
And Heather, is this your first time in the studio?
Yes.
This is the first time. So you're a first timer. Okay, be gentle with me.
First timer
here.
What's that?
Not with shots.
Not with shots.
Oh, first timer here.
Okay, good.
All right, Heather.
Let me see you poke Mike.
Huh. All right. Are we done?
No.
Yeah, that's it, Mike.
Oh. Can it last a little longer? I just kind of like Heather touching my arm. I really enjoyed that.
Heather, I've disrobed.
A little Band-Aid. Now, will you need to put a shot anywhere else? I'm just checking. I really am.
Why don't you girls float over here? I'm ready to be poked.
There he is.
All
excellent.
Right.
Oh, good. Good. Very happy. All right. Here we go. You know, I'd like to say that any nurses could come in here pretending they're nurses and actually...
Ow!
How, did she give it to you?
Yeah. Oh, ow!
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, you big baby.
Yeah. Ow! You're hurting me!
Joe,
you're hurting me!
Mom hurt me!
No, thank you. Thank you very much, sir.
You're welcome.
Okay.
All right. Aren't they nice and gentle?
Catch me up now.
I love our nurses. They're wonderful.
Thank you.
They really are.
Thank you very much. Okay, she gave me a nice little pat.
Ah, that's good. It's very reassuring.
Thank
it really
you.
Is. It really is.
Who's next? Is Buzz next?
Right.
Buzz will probably just take all his clothes off for you.
You don't mind, do you?
No.
Charlie Broyhill coming into the house.
Charlie Broyhill's finally going to get his flu shot.
You got it already?
No.
You're going to get it on the air.
This will be a first.
Attaboy.
For the longest time, Charles Loring Broyhill has been a non-believer in modern medicine.
Now, you're dealing with the one member of the staff that is probably chock full of medications right now. Have you read that thoroughly, Buzz?
Yes, I have.
Buzz is the sickliest of all of us.
I believe I qualify for everything. I feel good about getting these fish.
Now, Buzz, you should have let that go audibly.
Wow. It made a noise. It actually made a noise when she injected the vaccine.
Really?
It made a little squeaking noise.
Wow.
It surprised me.
All I know is I saw Buzz's mouth go, ow, 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 but it was inaudible because he said nothing.
She was very gentle with me, but then again, I thought Heather and I just kind of clicked. I really did.
All right, now, hold on. If you're going to do Charles Broyhill, you got to do him over on the microphone.
All right. Charlie Broyhill. Charlie Broyhill, for the first time, getting a flu shot. What is your... Why is your stomach exposed?
What
is that's attractive.
What?
Look what he's doing. He's doing like a Tarzan thing. Look at that.
Yeah, I'm standing between him and the door to make sure he doesn't escape.
Okay.
All right.
Are you really uptight about needles?
No.
Why have you not received a flu shot in all the years we've
gotten? Never had a desire to.
Why this year, Charlie?
Why not?
Listen to him. Listen to the freewheeling style of Charlie Broyhill.
He's just swinging it. He's uptight.
I'm not even wearing underwear today.
Yeah.
No, I am.
All right, he's very
upset. Did you anything?
All right.
No. No, I don't
eat
it. All right. Okay, there it goes.
How come I'm the only one that screamed in pain?
It was that easy.
Oh, no. He's fallen to the floor.
Fantastic.
All right, time for Michael Rockhead now.
Oh, good.
Come on, Mikey Rockhead.
Ask the nurses if they can make this one hurt.
Yeah, make this.
Was there any way you could put mics in his eye? Is there a chance I could do that?
Start. Cut Charlie Boyle's pimply back.
Yeah, absolutely. You got some back acne there.
Sure does.
Steroids. Didn't you think he was in better shape, too, until you saw him, you know?
Yeah.
I thought I was the only, you know, it's starting to, you know, you're old. You're showing your age there, Charlie.
How old are you, Charlie?
35.
Amazing.
Is that the funniest thing ever that he's 35?
Are you 35 now?
35.
Wow.
That is the funniest thing ever.
Oh,
I still think of him as like about 15.
I did. I'll never forget the first time he was 30.
Okay, Rockhead, up to the microphone, please.
The
first time you were 30, yes. Very
now, Michael Rockhead is going to do the same move as Charlie.
Looking at my body.
We're going to get to see his handsome bod.
Here comes the body of body.
Oh, my God. Jesus Christ.
Don't be scared, Mike.
Jesus Christ.
Look at that.
Look at the body on Rockhead.
You know, being thin, it's not always cracked up to be.
You know, these guys, they can't just do what we did and just roll up their sleeve.
Right.
They got to take off their whole shirt.
You know, if it's thin without muscle tone, thin doesn't count. I'll tell you that right now.
Right.
It just makes me realize, you know, with all this dieting, if I ever lose the weight, I'm just going to lift weights at the same time. That's for sure.
All right, Rockhead, and now... The pièce de résistance, the final guy, Mr. Rob Speedbump. Rob, step up, please.
These flu shots being administered by Innova Health Source.
I'm up for this year. Last year I had to get mine at Safeway, and it wasn't the same.
Okay, look how hairy Rob's arms are.
No. I just want you to know, nurses, just take your time with
it. He's sensitive.
He tries to be confident. There might be... He occasionally has a small reaction. Just a little, ow, ow.
He's but brave.
I mean, so
low threshold of pain, but very brave. Thank
no,
you.
No, no, he has very a very high threshold of pain.
Ladies and gentlemen, Rob Spiewak is about to get his blue.